Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, March 16, 2015. Tonight's open forum, as we've been doing for quite some time now, is being simulcast over four networks. You can find more information about these networks on our website. Go out to nationallibertyalliance.org. On the left side, top, click on weekly call. Anyway, we have GMN Broadcasting, Shake and Wake Radio, Classic Redneck Radio, and Anti-Illuminati Party on Blog Talk Radio. And I know, I don't know if they're all simulcasting us. I know a couple of them are simulcasting, and others I think are just broadcasting us at another time. But either way, it works well with us. Let's see, if anyone would like to email a question, you can email to questions, plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll get that during the week, and then we'll ask those questions next week. So again, that's questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. All radio hosts are invited to go into the queue if they have any questions or comments. I know William's coming in on my end, so William, if you had a question or a comment and you wanted to pipe in, you know, you can wait in between a call and ask. let's see. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening over those networks and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. That's 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698. That's 385-698. All that information is up on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on weekly call, top left, and you'll get all that info there. Also, we ask everyone to please support our sponsors. All the proceeds support the NLA effort. Right now, we've got a couple. We've got NLA Ready, which is a food storage. So you can click on the link on the right side, or you can go to nlaready.com and order storage food. It's a very good price, very good food. No GMO or anything of that nature. Nothing, none of the poison in the food. It's good, clean food. you can buy what's called a grab-and-go for $149. Quite a few meals. I need to look up to see how many meals are in that bucket. Maybe I'll know by next week. But there's quite a few meals in that bucket. So if you were to buy those buckets once a month or however often you can afford that, you can store up quite over a period of time quite a lot. Also, you know, people need to get up gold and silver. It's very important that people be ready for a potential collapsed monetary system, and gold and silver eventually will be the money of the day once that at some point in time, once after the collapse. So, again, you know, by buying it through us, I think we've got some of the best prices. You get free delivery if you just mention NLA. I do have a link. I got to link up a link on this page, but you can call in for that one right now, and maybe tomorrow I'll see if I can get the link up. Okay, and we're looking for other things that people might need. We're not just selling anything. We're helping people to get and to purchase things that they should be getting, and we're trying to get the best prices and, of course, help to keep NLA going. Let's see, and also, everybody remember, you know, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Just click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is Proverbs. We're going to look in Proverbs chapter 1. So in the mind of God, Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 19. We read the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And the purpose of God's word is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, the instruction of thy father, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Okay, that was the mind of God, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. Anything particular, Gerard or Robert, anybody out there have anything to announce, to bring up? I do want to bring something up quick before we get into the topic for tonight, and that is we're looking to work on a new sheriff's project, and this was brought to me by a few people. We started to throw things around, and we're thinking the idea is to see if there are people with National Liberty Alliance that might want to run for sheriff, and maybe even for judge. But I don't know. We don't want to get into the political things, but we want to help people who will be statesmen and to train them up in common law and so on and so forth. I don't know. Maybe I think Eric is was talking with us. Can someone find Eric and unmute him? He might have more to say on this. And Robert, I think you went on this conversation in the sheriff's, if you want to pipe in. But it really sounds kind of interesting and exciting to help people who may want to run for sheriff. It's the election is coming up at the end of the, a little later in the year. It's these are the midterms elections, isn't it? It's an odd year election. So what they call it, I think they call it midterm. No, those are even years. But in any event, some sheriffs may be running. And it would be good to be able to train some people in common law that's running for sheriff, and hopefully they'll get into office. Okay, I don't see anybody coming up piping in on that, so we'll move on, and if someone has something to say, we could talk about that.
I want to mention one thing, and I'm not going to use any names or anything, but we discussed this earlier. One of our members was at an airport this past week, and he got really worked over by the TSA pretty bad. And it turns out there's a code up in the top of the ticket when they target you for a more thorough search, which means they really probe and get nasty with you. But, I'm wondering if they they're in the NLA, and, the government likes to target people. They like lists, and they like all kinds of lists. So what I want to warn people is if you go to the airport and you find that you're being singled out for this real nasty screening, save your ticket, because there's a code in the top where, now they're going to claim that that's random, but if we find that, all our members are getting hit every time they hit a plane, we will do something about it. We will file something. We'll start a case. So it's very important. Look at, the IRS was targeting the Tea Parties and Liberty groups, and we know they're doing that. What makes you think that the TSA is not going to target us when it's time for us to fly? And I would be very surprised that this particular person wasn't targeted. I'm not going to jump to that conclusion, so I'm putting the word out. Any of us that fly, and if you find that, save the ticket, the boarding pass, because there's a code on the top. And copy it, and maybe we can have it sent. Maybe we could do a little, somebody can take on.
Yeah, make sure we know about it. And
right.
If we have two or three or four or five people
right.
calling in, that'd be pretty huge considering the numbers. And then maybe you could do affidavits and we could do something about it.
Yeah, so I just want to, say that and have them give us that information, so perhaps we might find it necessary to act on that. I yield.
Okay. All right, Robert, Gary, you guys got anything? If so, pipe in there. If not, we'll move on. Okay, tonight's topic is on rights. Do you know your rights? You can download a copy of this paper at nationallibertyalliance.org and click on Media. And on that page, you'll see some... goodness, what did I call it? Let me get out there and see what exactly I did call it. I call them footnotes in my computer. Okay, I just called them. I got it. The following papers define important legal terms and positions that we the people should have knowledge of and can assist you in court. So it's extremely important that go out here and read these papers. You're going to get an education. And anybody that's going to court, a lot of people ask me for information on writing papers and so on and so forth. A lot of people have asked me to write papers. Well, on this page here, under these notes, and I'm putting them up there both in Word and PDF. So you'll get them in both. PDF, if you don't have Word, at least you can read through it and you can cut paste off that. But it doesn't drag over the footnotes. So I put it up in Word, too, so people can actually dissect it and cut it up and use it in their case. But we have tremendous, tremendous amounts of United States Supreme Court rulings and different codes that, of course, codes that are constitutional and history and so on and so forth, quotes and so on. And so a lot of this information is good for writing your papers. As a matter of fact, judicial immunity, that particular paper right there, that right there is your jurisdiction. When you write a paper, anybody who knows how to write a paper, you get to the point where you're calling the jurisdiction. Well, what jurisdiction you're in? And you can literally cut and paste that entire thing, and that's your jurisdiction. It puts that judge right on the spot. But anyway, we'll be posting more and more papers up here. Fascinating stuff that we do have posted up here and covers a lot of stuff. And again, you can pretty much almost write a case by going through this paperwork and cut and paste and put it into your needs and your case. I will eventually post up a paper up here on how to lay out a case. And so people will be able to write their own cases. Again, you do want to become as fluent as possible in common law and that you can, and really learn mostly about jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is the most important thing that we need to really realize. Okay, I see Eric is here. Did you want to pipe in some more on what we were talking about, Eric?
Yeah, I do. I have some requests for courtroom observers. I'd like to get out there while we're still in the first hour, if you don't mind. This will be brief.
Go ahead.
There's three. I'm going to start off with probably the most important, only because he was incarcerated until last Monday night's phone call. And if you folks out there want to hear good news, the good news to the bad news is this. Although we did get cameras in the court in Oregon for David Lee's case, which is coming up on the 4th of April. And let's see, let me get the details here while we're on his name. David Lee needs courtroom observers big time. They incarcerated him in the courtroom with no charge. The police officer, and it was a cop, it wasn't a bailiff, sheriff, he didn't commit any contempt of court. It was absolutely clearly a reprisal. Well, don't we get on the Monday night conference call last week, and within about 30 minutes, they let him out. Within 30 minutes of us announcing it on the Monday night conference call, that cannot be by accident. Shows you the power of courtroom observers and the National Liberty Alliance and action. So we all need to get active and support David Lee. He's going to be out in Seaside, Oregon. Take a drive out there, folks. It's a beautiful drive. I've done it before. I used to live on the West Coast. It's absolutely gorgeous. Drive from Portland out to the West Coast and support Mr. Lee. He's appearing on the 4th for a bunch of trumped-up charges. Judge Phil Nelson. And the time of the appearance on the 4th is 11 a.m. This is in the Astoria, Astoria, Circuit Court. That's the Astoria, Oregon Circuit Court. That's 749 Commercial Street, or Commerce Street. I can't read my own writing here. I apologize for that. But it's a very small town. You will find the courthouse, no problem. This is not a big city, thank God. It's a beautiful place, but it's under tyranny, like everybody else. So I encourage everyone from Oregon and Washington State, because Seaside, Oregon is not too far over the border, to to the south of Washington State, so I would highly recommend everybody in Washington that can get there, get there. He's got his trial on the 7th. Did you get that? There's a hearing on the 4th, and 3 days later they're having a trial. I've never heard it jammed up that close to each other in my life, and I do courtroom observers for a living, unpaid. But so to have a hearing on the 4th and the trial on the 7th, once again, shows their fear of courtroom observers. They want to wrap this up and get it out the door ASAP. Do not make it comfortable on them. Show up at the courthouse at 749 Commerce Street with your camera and your pencil and paper and a letter that says, I respectfully command the court of Judge Nelson honor and enforce my right to film these proceedings of public interest on public property pursuant to the following two case precedents. And those two case precedents are on the Courtroom Observers Group bulletin board at the NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Two more. Inoja Moore, very nice Japanese-American lady, is appearing in court on March 24th at 10 a.m. on 50 Walnut Street in New York City. I'm not sure which borough this is in. I don't have that written down, but I will get that posted. March 24th, that's coming right up here in, less than a week, at 10 a.m. If people could go and stand with Inoja, make sure she gets treated properly in the courts. It's at 50 Walnut Street. And we also have Irina, our friend from the National Liberty Alliance, is appearing on March 18th at 10 a.m. in Brooklyn Supreme Court. Now, I really encourage people to help this woman. She comes from another country. She speaks English perfectly. She's brilliant. And I do not want to see people who come from other places to live in freedom be abused by our tyrannical courts, you know, run by the witches in black robes. So anyway, if people could stand with Irina on March 18th at 10 a.m. in Brooklyn Supreme Court, this is at 360, Adams Street. That's 360 Adams Street, Brooklyn Supreme Court. That ought to be fun. Go down there, folks. Stand with somebody in the NLA. Stand with somebody who's being persecuted. They're going to take advantage of her because she's not from around here originally, and she needs help. And I encourage people to get down there with their info flyers and their cameras and pass out flyers and recruit new members for the National Liberty Alliance. Any excuse you can get to go to the courthouse is a good day, folks, because guess what? You're going to meet 5, 6, 7, 8 people, as I do every time I go to court, who are really interested in what the National Liberty Alliance is doing. Just a brief feedback from one of my appearances, my observations at a home seizure in the court of Judge Doyle, vice principal of a major high school, and a lawyer came up to me and said, we really approve of what you guys are doing. We're here fighting the beast as well. The one woman who was a lawyer said, I'm one of them, and I really encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Can I have your card? Can you help us? I'm here fighting for my father's health. She's one of them. She's a lawyer, and they were feeding on her. So the system is cannibalizing its own people, and it's not going to last forever. So we need, if we can get the tipping point of enough public pressure to put on these courts through our courtroom observers units, this makes a big difference. And we've had, 70 to 80% success rate at the lower courts. The federal courts are a little resistant to the cameras, so we want to push that there hard. You always have the right to film in the lobby, regardless of what the judge says. So it's advisable to make contact with the head of the bailiffs or court security and say, here's who I am. I'm with the National Liberty Alliance. We're bringing courtroom servers. I want to make sure my right to film in the lobby is respected, and the judge will make the decision per individual courtroom. So once again, we have Dave Lee on the 4th and the 7th in Seaside, Oregon. Hioja in New York City on the 24th at 10 a.m. Walnut Street. And Irina on the 18th of March, 10 a.m., Brooklyn Supreme Court. So people, stay involved with the courtroom observers. This is where the rubber meets the road and where the action takes place.
Okay, thanks, Eric. And that may be why, you know, feeding on their own, as you say, that may be why the chief judges here in New York, the top dogs, the guys that we've already indicted, those guys are now looking and calling for revamping the grand jury process, and they want to take control. They want to take it away from the prosecutors and have the judge control not only just the trial jury, but now the grand jury. So that's the big movement here in New York.
I'll bet they do want to control it, and we cannot let that happen because they can see the writing on the wall. They know we're in the right, and they know with enough public pressure joining with us, we can win this battle for our freedom. It's really not that complex. But it does take action, and the Court of Observers is where the action's at. Don't forget to do your paperwork and your National Liberty Alliance homework. get your envelope stuffed, get your letter to the sheriff, get your Cuantos out to all your local judges, and then call your state coordinator and ask them, where is the soft spot in our state? Let's say you're in Montana, and you've got a bunch of counties there, and you say, hey, where is it soft? You call Gary or Robert, ask them, you know, are there any counties that are not represented in our state? And then take up the slack and start running with it, and let's get every state solidified so we're present in every county, in every state, with a force that can be reckoned with, including courtroom observers, to take the battle to the court.
Okay, thank you, Eric.
Thanks.
Okay, are you going to stay on this line, or are you going back into the room?
I'm going to bounce back to the other. I just want to get this in now because, while it's early, I wanted to get everybody thinking about courtroom observers. Put it in your docket. Write it down. I'll try to get things posted, and, feel free to give me a call. My number is all up there on the courtroom observers protocol bulletin board.
Okay. Yeah, so everybody should go up there and join the courtroom observers group and also our media campaign group. Let's get active. That's the only way we're going to take this nation back. And now is the time of real heavy activity. We're about ready to make some major moves, and hopefully by next week we'll have some information concerning those major moves that we'll be making, and the pressure will be on. But let's get back here to the subject matter now tonight. The subject matter is rights, inalienable rights, or unalienable rights. Matter of fact, either word means the same thing, un or in. I know when we first looked at this word, unalienable, we wasn't sure whether to pronounce it unalienable or unalienable, and we heard other people doing it this way and some people doing it that way. I was listening to the, what papers was it? It was the Federalist Papers, and that word came up on a few occasions, and they pronounced it unalienable. And I think I even heard on the other papers that we have on the grand jury, essay on the grand jury by Spooner. But also, I know I've got an electronic dictionary here, and I can get the pronunciation of a word by clicking on a little speaker, and it's unalienable there too. So the proper pronunciation for those who didn't know or confused like we were, it is unalienable or inalienable. Okay, the word unalienable or inalienable in Black's Law, 4th edition, it means it's not subject to alienation. There's no separation. You cannot separate the person from the right. It's an inalienable or unalienable right. The characteristics of those things which cannot be bought or sold or transferred from one person to another, such as rivers and public highways and certain personal rights, example, liberty, inalienable, incapable of being sold and transferred. Okay, and the word rights, generally defined as powers of free action, and the primal rights pertaining to men are undoubtedly enjoyed by human beings, purely as such beings grounded in personality and existing antecedently to their recognition by positive law. Free, not subject to legal constraints of another. Okay, so that's the word rights. So we have unalienable rights. Men cannot put their laws upon us and control our behavior. Can't happen. It's been happening in America for a long time now, and it's happening to every single one of us on a daily basis now, and it's time to wake up and take our rights back, take our freedom back. Now, the Bill of Rights have five essential powers which are required to control destiny. I was really just looking at that when I was putting this paper together. And I realized that there are five powers that are controlled, that are mentioned here. There are 20 essential unalienable rights that the Bill of Rights brings forth. And if that is taught to our children and exercised, the results would be a domestic tranquility and control of the individual and our national destiny. But the five powers that are covered here is spiritual power. We find that in the First Amendment. Political power, we find that also in the First Amendment. Power of self-defense, and our own. In each case, it's destiny in each one of them. But power of self-defense, we find that in the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. Second and Third Amendments. Self-governing, power of self-governing, we find that in Amendment Number 4. Judicial power. We find that in Amendment number 5, 6, 7, and 8. So those are the five powers: spiritual power, political power, self-defense power, self-governing power, and judicial power. If you don't have all five of those powers, you are not free. And if we only have four of those powers, it's only a matter of time before you only have three, then two, then one, then none. We can't let them take any of our rights or any of our powers. We need to take our power back. And, of course, that's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, teaching, training, and working with people to take control of their courts in their own counties by taking control of the administrations of the juries, both grand and trial. Okay, so any legislature, any legislative regulation on people, any legislative regulation on people's behavior is the beginning of the loss of sovereignty. People may participate in any behavior they wish, as long as it causes no moral or physical harm to others, including immoral behavior in private, by themselves, or with other consenting adults. Certain things you can't do in public, and you should be stopped from doing. That's immoral acts. But of course, between two adults or by yourself, smoke some marijuana or do some drugs, that's your business. People shouldn't be doing that. But nevertheless, it's their business. It's not ours. Personally, if you're a personal friend, you could talk to them, and that's about as much as you could do now. All right, rights. Other rights that really aren't that clear in the Bill of Rights. We've got lots of rights, and as a matter of fact, in the Bill of Rights, it says whatever rights aren't here, it doesn't restrain you from exercising any others, or the states to take necessary powers. If there's any other powers that we didn't cover here, then they could be taken up by the state or the people. But remember, the people have to approve the state to take up that power. But I don't know what other power that could be. I mean, there are certain controlling powers to run government, but we have to be very careful. But the key powers that we cannot let them ever to encroach upon is our right to control their power. And that would be ultimately judicial power. We can never allow them to control our power, to go beyond our authority. Self-governing power, again, that's the power of the grand jury particularly. Okay. And that's the Fifth Amendment. Right to exercise rights. I'm going to go through some court cases here and different rights that people need to be aware of. And again, if you're having problems in courts and you want to make your points, you cut and paste these particular positions out and make your position and show your authorities. Okay, rights to exercise rights. Shearer versus Cullen. There can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of his exercise of a constitutional right. Simons versus the United States. The claim and exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime. A denial of them would be a denial of due process of law. You cannot be denied of your rights, and that's that makes it a federal issue and an assault upon you and for not giving you due process. Rights indirectly denied. Constitutional rights would be of little value if they could be indirectly denied. Rights are not a crime. Miller versus U.S. The claim and exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime. Scheer versus Cullen again. There can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of his exercise of constitutional rights. That's a repeat, so I'll make a note to take that one out of there. Simmons versus the United States. We find it intolerable that one constitutional right should have to be surrendered in order to assert another. Miller versus the United States. The claim and exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime. That's a repeat also. Miranda versus Arizona. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. Stuck versus medical examiners. Once challenged, jurisdiction cannot be assumed. It must be proved to exist. We made a big mistake when we were in the courts, is telling them that they had to prove that they had jurisdiction, and a decision would have to be made on that. And we didn't really think that out far enough, because we've gotten responses like, well, I decided I got jurisdiction, let's move on. You know, who are these people? No, you want to show me you got jurisdiction, you trace it back to the people. I don't care what statute they give us, you better trace the authority of that statute back to the people. Because the legislators step out of their line all the time. There's a game going on between the powers, and the legislators feed the judicial more and more powers, and they make legislation that they don't have the authority to make. I mean, it happened right off the starting point in the beginning of our nation in 1789. Constitution, the ink on the Constitution wasn't even yet dry; it was still wet. And they came up with the Judicial Act of 1789, which changed our court system, turned it right upside down on its head. You know, the Constitution clearly said that we have courts of law and equity, and that we run according to the rules of the common law. Article 6 says that all judges must obey. And yet, again, just months into the beginning of our nation, they came up with the Judiciary Act, and it permitted equity courts to operate under the rules of chancery. And that is our problem today. We're in chancery courts and nothing has changed. And the chancery courts are preventing us from getting into our courts of law. They deny us courts of law. So people need to understand this, and this is the crust of the problem. You see, this is the heart of the problem. Fix that problem and you fix everything. Because you fix that problem, now we have control of the courts. You got control of the courts, you got control of every elected individual in the nation, no matter who they are. And the Constitution says if they're in bad, they only get to serve us as long as they're in good behavior. Which means what? If they're in bad behavior, they can be removed from office. How do you remove someone from office? You indict them. You give them a prescription, tell them to behave, change their ways, do the right thing, and repent. And let's go forward. Or we're going to bring you before a grand jury for indictment. Once the grand jury indicts, they're removed from office. They cannot stay in office. They must leave office. Okay, right. This is some of the biggies right now. This is one of the biggies, is the right to practice law. What a hard time we get in courts. And there's a lot of ammunition here on this paper here on this particular subject matter. Right to practice law. The American Bar Association, it's called the ABA, founded August 21st, 1878. I wonder what they did before that. There was 100 years, 1778 to 1878. And, you know, where was the bar then? You know, there was no bar. There was no bar lawyers, at least not American bar. There was the English bar, but that was cut away with once we broke away from England. The American Bar Association, ABA, founded August 21st, 1878, is a voluntary association of lawyers and was incorporated in 1909 in the state of Illinois. The state does not accredit the law schools or hold examinations and has no control of jurisdiction over the ABA or its members. The ABA accredits all law schools, holds their private examinations, selects the students they will accept in their organization, and issues them so-called licenses for a fee, but does not issue state licenses to lawyers. No such thing as a state license. There is no such thing as a license to practice law. It does not exist. The bar is the only authority that can punish or disbar a lawyer, not the state. The ABA also selects the lawyers that they consider qualified for judgeships and various other offices in the state. Now, that's really bad. They get to approve the judges. Now, they already know these people because, hey, they've been going to their schools. I'm sure they're doing psychologicals on them from day one. They know their records have passed from the one school into the law school. They also follow them up, and they probably get reports, because when they get out of law school, you know, my brother went to law school, and he says they don't really teach you how to write the paperwork. And you really got to get that through experience. And so when you get out of law school, you have to go work for another lawyer. That may be a requirement, as a matter of fact, for at least so many years, part of your study. But you have to work for another lawyer or law group, and they get to teach you and train you on how things work. So they got total control over this. And again, I'm sure they do reports on these things. So they know exactly who they want to be a judge and who they don't. And that tells us why we're not getting much responses in any of the courts with any of these judges. They're all guilty as sin, as far as I can see. But we'll find out soon, won't we? Okay, let me go back here. The bar is the only authority to punish or disbar a lawyer, not the state. The ABA also selects lawyers that they consider qualified for judgeships and various other offices in the state. Under fiction of law, only the Bar Association or their designated committees can remove any of these lawyers from public office. This is a tremendous amount of power for a private union to control, and because of this unchecked power, RICO runs rampant throughout our government at every level, and we the people intend on extinguishing it. The United States Constitution does not give anyone a right to a lawyer or right to counsel or a right to any other hearsay substitute. The Sixth Amendment is very specific that the accused only has the right to the assistance of counsel. Doesn't have to be a lawyer either. And this assistance or counsel can be anyone the accused chooses without limitation. So when they refuse you assistance in court, when someone comes up to help you, that's one of the things you could sue that judge for, is denying your unalienable right to assistance of counsel. Got it right on the record. Let the record show that that Your Honor has resisted and prevented me from having counsel in this courtroom today. And then you do your writ of error, and you make a federal case out of it. In other words, create a federal lawsuit. Okay. Meyer versus Nebraska. The term liberty denotes not merely freedom from bodily restraint, but also the right of the individual to contract, to engage in any of the common occupations of life, to acquire useful knowledge, to marry, to establish a home and bring up children, to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. The established doctrine is that this liberty may not be interfered with under the guise of protecting public interest by legislative actions. Schwer versus Board of Examiners. The practice of law cannot be licensed by any state. Schwer versus the Board of Bar Examiners, again. A state cannot exclude a person from the practice of law or from any other occupation in a manner or for reason that contravene the due process clause. Sims versus Ahearns. The practice of law is an occupation of common right. Shear versus Cohen, again. Therefore, there can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of his exercise of a constitutional right. Brotherhood of Trainmen versus Virginia State Bar. Litigants can be assisted by unlicensed laymen during judiciary proceedings. That's very interesting that the Virginia State Bar got involved in a lawsuit to prevent them from representing themselves, these other people, and they lost. NAACP versus Button. Members of groups who are competent non-lawyers can assist other members of groups achieve the goal of the group in a court without being charged with unauthorized practice of law. Federal Rights of Civil Procedures, Rule 17. A next friend is a person who represents someone who is unable to tend to his or her own interests. So right there's a federal rule that permits people to come in and assist people, and it's rule number 17, and they call it a next friend. Right to proceed in courts without costs. Kandel versus Nevada. Natural man or woman is entitled to relief for free access to its judicial tribunals and public offices in every state in the Union. Hale versus Henkel. Plaintiffs should not be charged fees or costs for the lawful and constitutional right to petition this court in this matter, or in which he is entitled to relief, as it appears that the filing fee rule was originally implemented for fictions and subjects of the state and should not be applied to the plaintiff, who is a natural individual and entitled to relief. Now, this is extremely important, and I A couple of times I've gone out and paid the fee because I couldn't get it in for free, but I'm not going to do that ever again, no more. Because once you pay the fee, you're now just telling them, yeah, you're in the fiction's court. So you're kind of giving them jurisdiction. You got to argue that fee right off the bat. And one way to argue that fee is when you go to file your papers, have a paper with, because you're going to file it with the clerk, the county clerk is where you're going to go down to file it. So you create a paper to sue the county clerk for rejecting or refusing to take your paperwork without the fee. And so try to file your papers without that, without the fee. And if they don't do that, then say, okay, can you get someone else? Because I got another paper here to file because I'm suing you. And you put it under the paper and you give them a copy. I'm suing you for this purpose. So go get someone else to take my paperwork now. So that's one way to try to get through the system. The other way is to then go to the federal courts and file it in the federal courts without fee. Generally speaking, they don't give you a hard time. But recently, I just had a hard time from the federal court. So we're suing now the court clerk for the federal court that receives the papers for denying due process because they wanted me to give them money in order for me to go get justice. Right to travel. Here's a biggie one. Okay, Thompson versus Smith. The right of a citizen to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon, either by carriage or by automobile, is not a mere privilege which a city may forbid or permit at will, but a common right which he has under the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Shackman versus Duels. Undoubtedly, the right of locomotion, the right to remove from one place to another according to inclination, is an attribute of personal liberty, and the right ordinarily of free transit from or through the territory of any state is a right secured by the 14th Amendment and by other provisions of the Constitution. I don't particularly care for the 14th Amendment, but we'll use it. It's a Supreme Court decision, so we'll use it. State versus Johnson. A citizen has the right to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon. Kent versus Duels. The right to travel is part of a liberty of which the citizen cannot be deprived without due process of law under the Fifth Amendment. Edwards versus California. Where activities or enjoyment natural and often necessary to the well-being of an American citizen, such as travel, are involved, we will construe narrowly all delegated powers that curtail or dilute them. To repeat, we deal here with the constitutional right of the citizen. Chicago Motor Coach versus Chicago. Even the legislature has no power to deny a citizen the right to travel upon the highway and transport his property in the ordinary course of his business or pleasure through the right, though his right may be regulated in accordance with the public interest and convenience. Regulated here, meaning stoplight signs, etc., not a privilege that requires permission or unconstitutional taxation. Example, licensing, mandatory insurance, vehicle registration, requiring financial consideration, which are more illegal taxes. Volunteer Medical Clinic, Inc. versus Operation Rescue. Right to travel is constitutionally protected against private as well as public encroachments. Black Second says license in the law contracts is a permission according to a competent authority conferring the right to do some act which without such authorization would be illegal or would be a trespass or a tort. Trezevant versus City of Tampa, where an individual is detained without a warrant and without having committed a crime, traffic infractions are not crimes. The detention is a false arrest and false imprisonment. So the fact that you're stopped and given a ticket, even though it takes only 5 or 10 minutes to get the ticket, you've been detained. Therefore, that's false arrest and false imprisonment. Blacks, we read that one. As a matter of fact, that's duplicated. I'll take that one out, too. Right of privacy, Boyd versus U.S., right of privacy. Manchetti versus the United States. The constitutional privilege was intended to shield the guilty and imprudent, as well as the innocent and foresighted. That's a very important one. You know, they can think you're guilty of sin, and they'll bypass and do everything because they want to get you convicted. And, you know, they don't know who's guilty and who's not guilty, and you may look guilty because you don't want to, you know, comply to their orders and so on and so forth. Anyway, same court case goes on. The government's anxiety to obtain information known to a private individual does not without more render that information public. If it did, no room would remain for the application of the constitutional privilege, nor does it stamp information with a public character that the government has formalized its demands in the attire of a statute. If this alone was sufficient, the Constitution's privilege could be entirely be abrogated by any act of Congress. Right to be left alone, probably the most important one, Holloman versus Life Insurance Company of Virginia. The right to be left alone, the right of a person to be free from unwarranted publicity. The right of an individual or corporation to withhold himself and his property from public scrutiny if he so chooses. It is said to exist only so far as its assertion is consistent with law or public policy, and in proper case equity will interfere. If there is no remedy at law to prevent an injury threatened by an invasion of or infringement upon this right from the motives of curiosity, gain, or malice. Olmstead versus the United States. The right to be left alone, the most comprehensive of rights and the right most valued by civilized men. To protect that right, every unjustifiable intrusion by the government upon the privacy of the individual, whatever the means employed, must be deemed a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And this is extremely important because this particular right, anytime they violate any of your rights, right there, they you get them for the right to be left alone. They violate it. And that goes to the heart of liberty. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. I don't want to answer your questions. Go away. You want me to answer? You want to force me to answer? You think you can? Well, go get yourself a grand jury to indict me. Then I'll talk. Okay. So the right to be left alone. Katz versus the United States. The recording by police of conversation in public telephone booths was a violation of the Fourth Amendment because the speaker had a reasonable expectation of privacy in the booth. They listen to our cell phones now and our emails and so on. Right to defend, another very important one. Rovan versus State. When a person being without fault is in a place where he has a right to be, is violently assaulted, he may, without retreating, repel by force. And if, in the reasonable exercise of his right of self-defense, his assailant is killed, he is justified. Okay, rights, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I wanted to get a paper out there on rights, and some of the important ones is the right to travel, the right to gain access without having to pay their stupid fees into the courts, the right to practice law, the right to represent others, to help them out, and so on. These are all important rights. But again, going back to the essential, our founding fathers were brilliant. They certainly were extremely brilliant, because when they put this together, they covered every power of man. And remember, if you don't control this power, you are not free. And we, most of these powers we do not control. We wake up to the fact that we're not controlling them. And let me read them again. Spiritual power. That has everything to do with your destiny. Spiritual power. Political power. Self-defense power. Self-governing power. Judicial power. So if you don't have those powers, you don't have liberty. And these are the things that they don't want us to even think about or look at or talk about. And we've been taught at a very young age, you know, to go find a priest or find a lawyer and get representation, because you don't need to know about it. It's too much for you. You're not smart enough, and you need to go to school. You have to go to college. You have to do 4 years of this and 3 years of that, whatever it is. And you just can't. It's too difficult for you. You know, you just can't do it. So get yourself a lawyer. Go find a priest or a rabbi or something, you know. Okay, that brings us to the end of that subject for tonight, rights, inalienable rights. And again, get to know your rights, open up the Bill of Rights, and also read the Constitution and the Declaration. That should be something people should read every single day, and you should go back and study it. Break it down line by line. Look at the articles. Go to the Constitution and look at the articles. Go to Article 1. That's the legislative. That's the article that gives the legislative powers. Go through them one by one And we did this in the Quo Warranto, as a matter of fact. Use the Quo Warranto as a guideline, because we actually went through the Constitution to lay out the powers of the legislators, the powers of the judiciary, and the powers of the administrators, and what they all fall under and have to be obedient to, and we proceed according to the common law, okay? And the Bill of Rights, again, go back and look and break it down the way it is on this paper. You can get a copy of this paper, nationallibertyalliance.org, click on media, and you'll find it down on the list, and it's just called Rights. We have it in PDF and N-word. But on the front page, look at the list, and all I did was take all of the rights from the First Amendment through, and I listed them down in a line, you know, in a column. And then I went to see, well, and I laid this out to see what kind of powers, you know, what was our founding fathers looking at when they, you know, how did they construct this? So it was kind of reversed, you know, deconstruct in order to see how they constructed. And it fell together very quickly. Spiritual power, political power, self-defense power, self-governing power, judicial power. All in the five powers necessary to be a human being and have total control of your destiny. Okay, with that, Gerard, if you have anything, or Bob?
Yeah, I have some new business here I wanted to. It's kind of along the same lines, too. We have two new papers posted. We have the answer to Judge Beth Phillips, which finally got mailed out, and she's the federal judge.
Yeah, I haven't
that...
posted them yet, but I'll be posting them on this page, as a matter of fact.
Right.
This, the most important page, I think, at this point on National Liberty Alliance, for those who are now really looking for the meat, is this page, because this is where you're going to find all the laws, the answers, what they have to say, what we have to say, and to show how dumb these people are. I mean, I thought we were dumb. I thought I was dumb. But let me tell you, these people take the cake. They're real. They can't say anything. They have nothing to say. But go ahead, Jerome.
And what I and along the lines of what John just said, these are excellent learning and teaching, resources. Because when you go in there, and I mean this letter to Beth Phillips, you know, when she reads what we put in there, they're going to have a heart attack, because we really laid out what her powers were and what she was expected to do, and we gave her a pretty good slap there, you know. And they're not used to that, but it's certainly worth it. And I don't think we'll hear anything back, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And the other thing we have is we have the letter to the postmaster, which has all the information on it of when you get these letters back, who to send them to, what to send. This one here, you know, you got to put the guy's name in it. And it also has the postmaster general's address, and you send a carbon copy to him. And in there, it's like if the situation warrants it, you say, and you're expected to mail all this mail for the postage that was on it, and you send it back as a package, and see what happens then, because they have to do it. Because the laws, it's very clear when you read that thing, you know, why we're operating in that way, why we're using that law, and how we're using that law. And I don't think you're going to, I think once they actually sit and read that, I don't think you'll have trouble with your mail anymore. So those are two things that that are going to be new this week. I just wanted to mention them before I forgot. Okay.
Yeah, and we'll probably cover them in more detail maybe next week. We'll see what subject we'll pick next week, but we may cover that. And for those who have missed any of our Monday nights, the past 5 or 6 weeks, we're now kind of giving a topic to each night. So, you know, if you wanted to go back into, for instance, onto our page, let me get there myself, the weekly call page, and you look at the MP3s that you can download and listen to, down on the bottom, we started this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is week number 6. On February 9th is when we started this, and we titled it Sheriff Mandamus and the Bill of Exchange. If you haven't heard that, it's important to really take a look and listen to that. County Sheriff was the next week, and the U.S. Marshals, Article 3 Courts, that was probably one of the most important studies that you really want to... You need to understand what court you're in and what an Article 3 court is. And the fact that every federal court is an Article 3 court. They can say whatever they want, They're Article III courts, and they can't get around it. That paper proves it, and we do talk about that. The de facto versus de jure, again, you know, this is an important subject. You don't even think of going into the court if you don't understand the Article III court and can't defend it and know the difference when you're not in it. The other thing is the de facto versus de jure, which really brings us to the jurisdiction. If you're not able and capable of realizing when they just moved you into a different jurisdiction, and especially in federal court, they move from jurisdiction to jurisdiction in their conversations. And you need to pay attention and you need to understand those jurisdictions. You need to understand who the enemy is, the de facto versus the de jure. And last week we did the principles of law on the King's Bench, and this week inalienable rights. So again, these are important subject matters, and we're covering them for a purpose because this is the knowledge base that you need to win in court. This is the knowledge base that you need to be an administrator for the common law grand juries. This is the knowledge base that every American should have. Knowledge is power. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Thomas Jefferson didn't say it quite that way, but gave it my own little twist. Okay, Bob, do you have anything before we get going? If not, we'll open up the phones. I'll shift over. Let me first say what I'm... Go ahead.
I was just going to say that following up on Eric, he mentioned Seaside a couple of times. The hearing and the court dates, those are actually in Astoria, at 749 Commercial Street. So, you know, just forget Seaside. It's in Astoria, Oregon.
Okay. Anything up on the website that has that error in it, Eric, you should, you know, correct to make it clearer. So, anything else, Bob?
No, that's all I have at the moment.
Okay. Okay, we're going to open up the lines in a minute here. I'd like to say is, first of all, for those who have spoken in the past couple of weeks, hold off a couple of minutes to let the people get in that have not spoken in a few weeks. Let them get in first, and then in about 2 or 3 minutes, then you can pile into the Q&A. If any of the radio hosts have a question or a comment, you can come in first now also. You can hit the star six if you have a comment or a question, and we'll take it from there. So let me open up Q&A. Okay, so anybody who hasn't had a question asked in the past week or two and has been trouble getting into the line, you know, I think we've been pretty good in getting to most of the people. But I don't see anyone coming into the Q&A, but anybody? If not, we'll open it up to everybody. Okay, we got one person. Anybody else that hasn't had a chance to talk in the past couple of weeks, get in there now, star six. And everyone else that have been in here, you know, just give it a couple of minutes, let these people get in first. So we'll take our first caller, Jim from New York. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello, John.
Hey, Jim.
My question has to do with those calendars. I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks back. You were going to straighten that out and put the calendars on there.
Right. Yeah. What I'm going to do is I wanted to do it the past weekend or two. I spoke with Gerard about it. I've got a list of things to do, and I don't have. I got to go through each one of these numbers. It didn't work out as well as we hoped. We're not going to post it for numerous reasons, but we will go through the numbers and make sure that the people who did get those numbers will be taken care of. So if your numbers hit, we will get to it. I will really try to do it this week. I wanted to do it this past weekend, but too many things happened, way too many things. But this week I think I should get it done. If you would like a copy of all of those numbers, send me an email and I'll send you a PDF copy of it. But otherwise, if you're in there and the number hit, we'll take care of it. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I was being patient because I remember a few weeks back you were saying that you were going to.
Right. Yeah, I apologize. You know, sometimes I get so overloaded, I only get half my work done, you know. So,
Well, it is kind of a low. It is kind of down on the scale. But I got a friend at work that bought one of them tickets, and he's asking me. He goes, "Did we ever win anything?" And I said, "You know, I'm waiting
well, you know
for
what?
It."
Send me an email, and I'll send you a list of numbers. Meanwhile, I will be taking care of it this week. So he'll get something in the mail if he did. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Just put in the email numbers, Pennsylvania numbers or PA numbers as your subject matter. Okay?
Okay, will do.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, next question. Let's see. Why is this thing moving back and forth on me? There it is. Donald, go right ahead.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you?
Good
evening. Good information you put out there. I'm glad that you brought that issue up, the difference between inalienable rights and unalienable rights. There's two implications, one on the human rights level for unalienable rights and one under a statutory regulation states, the federal states.
Well, no, that's not true. No, they're both, actually, if you go into Black's Law Dictionary, or it could be Brovieras, but I'm pretty sure it's Black's Law, that says unalienable and inalienable are synonymous. They're the same. So either word, you can use un or in. The proper pronunciation I have found some months back is unalienable, not unalienable, or inalienable, not inalienable. Some people think the word lien should be in there. It can't be lien. But unalienable ultimately really is focusing in on alienation, to separate, to take away. It cannot be taken away. You can't be separated. It can't be sold. Can't
right,
be
right. These are rights that God give every human being.
Exactly.
Okay, and this is protected under the International Bill of Human Rights.
It probably is, yes. But
yeah,
you know,
not probably. It's not probably. It is.
Well, it's in words, but that doesn't mean they... that they execute those words. Just like here, you know, we have these rights, we bring them in courts, we talk about them all the time in courts. Well, excuse me, Your Honor, you know, I have an unalienable right to do this or to do that. And not
they'll
court,
ignore
you,
you in the court.
Yeah, not
they'll
my court.
They'll ignore you in the court.
Yeah, so, but the point is, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is there. I don't know how well that they might execute it. As far as what we're concerned here, the most important thing for us is to get the American courts together. And I'll tell you what, we bring justice back into our courts. I think common law is going to move through the world like wildfire. I really do believe that.
Well, you know, God's law is the common law.
That's right.
God's law is the common law. And this is where we get mixed up between legislative law and God's law.
Right. One of the things that they have done.
The common law protects.
One of the things the lawyers have done, and is based the Bar Association particularly, what they have done is they try to confuse the people. And they say, oh, common law is really, Supreme Court rulings and decisions. That's what common law is. Well, yeah, that might be 1% of it. But for that law to be common law to be common law, it cannot be repugnant to our Constitution. Everything must be in harmony with the Constitution. But clearly, when you go back to study common law, it leads right back to the Anglo-Saxons, the Vikings, and look what they're doing to the Vikings on TV these days. But it goes right back to the Vikings. They're the ones that brought common law to England. It was called Britain, and they changed. It was because of them it's turned to England. They brought the common law there, and they were very clear. They were seeking rule by the mind of God. That's what they said. And when they found the Bible, they fused right to it, and there, out of that came the Magna Carta. Now, you go back even further than that, 1600, 1500 B.C., when Israel came out of Egypt, that's when the first 40 years after that, and they came into the Promised Land, that's when common law was first enacted in planet Earth, and it went for 400 years, okay? And then the second time that came to be was with the Vikings, but then they lost it. England lost it because they played too much with the king. And remember, God warned us, don't get a king. You don't need a king. I'm your king. So King God is our king. When we're sitting on the king's bench, we talked about this a week or two ago. I think it was last week. When we go into the king's bench, The king that we're talking about is God. That's the king. And we, the jury, sit on that king's bench. We're going in there with honor, justice, and mercy. We're going there with principles. We're going there to look for the wrongdoing and fixing it and to do the right thing. And so that's God's court. And that's the justice system that our founding fathers have put together for us by his mercy.
Yeah.
And that's the justice system we want to get back to.
There's just two other points that I'm trying to augment the things that you brought to the surface for the benefit of all the participants in this campaign for freedom. January 2nd, 2015, there's an article upon further review, and it dealt with the search of digital information on a cell phone cannot be justified under the search incident to arrest doctrine. And to sum it up, it's just a two-page article, too, and it's very, very brief, concise, clear and concise. The Supreme Court held, the United States Supreme Court held, a bright-line rule against warrantless search of cell phones, absent exigent circumstances, concluding our answer to the question of what police must do before searching a cell phone, seized incident to an arrest. So the seizure comes when they tap your telephone. That's when they claim jurisdiction over your property.
Do you have those court cases? Does the article tell you the name of the court cases and the identification numbers?
Certainly did. They recite several. Riley versus California and the United States versus Uri. W-U-R-I-E.
Could you email us the locations of those papers or
I will give it my best shot because I'm being blocked, and I'm quite sure many of our other members are being blocked. At least being interfered with, I will do my best.
Send it to john@nationallibertyalliance.org and also send it to Gerard, G-E-R-A-R-D, at nationallibertyalliance.org. So send it to both of us.
John and Gerard. Okay,
right.
Great. And just one other thing, just to add on to what you were saying, for the benefit of our members, all members, and this is imperative, I believe, you want to find out if somebody's in your phone, get a copy of your phone log from your service provider, and if you see a system, a string of zeros, that is the access code to get into your cell phone, to get into your computer.
When you say a string of zeros, where do you see that?
A string of zeros. It's a series of zeros, and it's usually 10 of them.
Okay.
That code
you wouldn't be calling a phone with a bunch of zeros in it. Like you'd pick it right out. In other words, it's like a call that either came in or you made too, right?
Yeah, it's a telephone call. It's a signal that was sent to your device.
Right, right. So it's going to stick out.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So
yeah,
tell all our
calls.
Members
to
look
calls
for that.
Where the caller ID comes up like that.
Yeah, I've gotten that once or twice too.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about, but I'm always very suspicious of AM.
10 zeros.
Mm, yes,
and you can identify that by getting your phone call log, and I know this because I'm very familiar with the technology. So once you see that in your phone record, you know that someone has gained access. They've sent an electronic code. That's called an electronic code to your device. They can download. They can modify it. They can redirect your searches. They can change information. They can do virtually anything they want to do. But the vast majority of people, even the FBI asked me, how do you know someone has hacked into your telephone? Because they expect that the masters don't know, and they don't know. But
well,
now the cat's out of the bag.
Well, now we
Thank
do. I'm
you.
Going to definitely be checking my phone bills. So is that also on the regular phone as much as also the cell?
Well, you know, analog is a thing of the past now, pretty much. Everything is digital. So anything digital you're going to be able to see these various codes. Thus far, they've only been able to send the codes with zeros. That's law enforcement and anyone else who wants to hack into your telephone, binary code. And it's 10 zeros that they send to you.
This is a right that they break with impunity, because they pull people over, and especially if they're younger people, they grab the phone right out of their hands. They don't even ask them. They just grab the phone and start going through them. I know personally young people around here, when they get pulled over, the cops grab the phone and start perusing through it. I mean, that's a direct violation of search and seizure, just, you know, with no probable cause at all.
Right. And as well, you know, that's the physical aspect of it, but there's an electronic aspect of search and seizure, and that's wiretapping. That's wiretapping. And when they intrude and intercept signals, the United States Supreme Court said, nope, don't do it. But what they've been doing with this mass incarceration campaign, they will get a name of an individual, and all they need is your telephone number. Once they get your cell phone number, they want to watch you. They want to listen to you. They get all this data on you. That's called being indicted by information that you did not give them consent to get into your device and steal your private information. And that's how they've been getting indictments on people, or getting them to discredit themselves. Mm-hmm. So that information can be suppressed.
All right, well, we appreciate that, Don, and send us that info when you can on those Supreme Court rulings. I'm interested in looking at that.
Yeah, I got it off of the internet. So, search of digital information on a cell phone cannot be justified under the search incident to arrest doctrine.
Okay.
So,
all right, thank you, Don. Appreciate the call.
Well, I hope that did augment, because that was my intent.
Great.
All right, then.
Thank you. Okay, next caller, Gina from New Jersey. How you doing, Gina?
Hi, John. How you doing?
Good.
And Gerard, everyone on the call. I'm going to be real quick here. I just wanted to alert everyone to the new group that's formed. I had conference with Sheila on Thursday, and the Child Protective Services Division Forum under National Liberty Alliance is up and running, and I just wanted to let the people know how to go on there if they're interested in being a part of it and helping with this, to bring in families that, you know, have had their children taken from them illegally, unlawfully. And all they would have to do is go on the site, National Liberty Alliance, you know, once they join and everything, and go to groups, and then scroll down to where it says Join Media Campaigns Group, and then they'll see the different forums and divisions under the media campaign, and Child Protective Services Division Forum is under that.
Okay. You might want to put this information onto the Courtroom Observer site also, get a hold of Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because that'll bring in a lot of people, and I'm having real success with signatures. So I had started on the first original sheet that was sent out, and I'm going to just continue to fill that one up, and then I'll start with the 100 which you can get 100 signatures on. But I couldn't get those people that I already had signed, so I just kept going with the one.
Look at it. If you got you got what you got, that's fine. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So that's pretty much, I just want everybody to know, and if anyone's interested, we're going to be having that conference on Sundays at 7, and information on the call numbers and access code will be posted and emailed out.
Okay, and you can also get that information up on nationallibertyalliance.org on the media campaign page. That information is up there also, and I think it's Read Me First information.
Yes.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else, Gina?
No, that's it for now.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay, 314-306, can you give us your first name and your state?
Yeah, Shorty from Missouri.
What's your first name?
Shorty.
Shorty?
Yeah.
Okay, from Missouri. Maybe someone can put that on that phone number. Go right ahead.
Well, anyway, wanted to bring up some issues and some questions about the Holden Hansen case out of Pensacola, Florida. He was initially brought into the prison system on account of structuring law, and then they tried to add what do they call that, mail fraud charges against him because he tried to defend his ministry property by mailing out notices, live-thin actions. Are you familiar with the Holden Hansen case?
No, I'm not. Gerard, are you familiar with it?
Yes, I am. I just watched a bunch of videos on it. I got a lot of emails on it. He's a great guy. He's a pastor. He's given up his 501(c). He does a extensive. They're really mad at him because he teaches very extensively against Darwinism, which he says started all our problems in this country, and I agree with him because it opened the door for all these other abuses. But anyway, you know, he's obviously upset some people, and they want to get rid of him. And this week, they locked him down 23 hours a day, you know, because somebody was fighting with him over a phone. So instead of taking the guy that attacked him, they put him in the 23-hour-a-day lockdown. They said it's for your own safety. So they're really playing hardball with him really bad. So... But anyway, go ahead. What did you want to say about that? I mean, you know, he's looking for people to call and things like that.
Well, the thing that I saw in the case, and I've been following it since October, there was a pastor out of, I think it's New Mexico or Arizona, Steve Anderson, that did an interview with him, and I happened to run across the interview, and I'm like, well, look at this guy, you know? And so I started taking notice on it, and trying to get an understanding of the structuring law. And next thing you know, the IRS is going before the Congress and apologizing for misuse of structuring law. And so, you know, the thing of it is with Holden is, you know, there ought to be an outcry that this thing be thrown out. That, you know, he was defrauded out of his property, out of his money, 10 years of his life, falsely in prison, you know. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. And there was a lot of his supporters, and I've talked to quite a few of them that were right next to him, and it seemed like there was a lot of people that were advising him, but they would not give him the common law courts and courts of record processes, which would have helped him a whole lot in this case. I'm surprised that the jury came back with not that they didn't how you say that there they didn't find you guilty, but then they didn't find you not guilty, and so that was with all the counts of mail fraud. But when it come to criminal contempt, here it is criminal contempt, and they found him guilty. And the same way with Paul Hansen, but the deal with Paul Hansen was he filed a notice of personal jurisdiction and the territorial jurisdiction and subject matter jurisdiction. They don't have the authority to move forward until they resolve that. And there's no way they can resolve that because they don't have it.
Right, but what you're doing, you see, they're in a he's got into a chancery court, and the jury is a puppet jury, and so the whole thing is illegal. You're absolutely right. But they've gone beyond that argument. 20 years ago or so, they may have been a little more nervous about pushing this if people start to show the fraud in the court. Now they just go back and expunge papers, expunge the different things, erase it from the record, and they put them in jail anyway because it's all about money settling accounts, and that's what it's all about. And they want to get rid of people who are a problem or they're just upset with. And so, but all of these cases... you know, once the grand juries get in place, where the people take control of the courts again, all of these cases could be appealed to the grand jury in itself. Look at anything that is illegal and wrong, the grand jury in itself can actually do habeas corpus. And without the answer of the habeas corpus response, which they will not be able to respond to in these cases, they'll have to be released from prison. And that's going to be the power and the authority of the people, and that's how we'll get these people out. It's really very simple. A grand jury can have anyone released from prison just by doing a habeas corpus. And then they must be brought before the grand jury. The sheriff must bring them, and if the people don't show up to show cause, and they can't show cause, you're talking about these people. If they can't show cause, then that's it.
Yeah, you know, he's right though. They got such a flimsy case on him. I mean, if he would have filed some kind of common law papers, I mean, you read the stuff that they got him on. It's nothing. It's obvious that they're framing him. You know, it's bad.
Oh, without a question.
It makes me sick to even think about that. And the trouble is he probably went in with a lawyer, and the judge controls the lawyers, and they steamroll him, and that's what they do. You know.
Well, and the sad part of it is, evidently, I see that you've been doing a little following on the case there. The thing of it is that there has been a ton of people that have spent a ton of money on phone calls into his, having him to call them, and they're all doing interviews when, in fact, the game plan should have been that they should have had the common law teachings already pre-recorded and everything. I've been following some of Bill Thornton's teachings, and I seem to like a lot of his teachings about courts of record and common law procedures and all that there, special masters in the court and all that there. And I made plenty of recommendations to those who support him and such and so forth, and none of that stuff was used. It was all thrown out. It was set aside or whatever, you know, and it's very irritating when you have the ability to help someone and then those that are close to that person won't allow your information to be available to him.
Hey, yeah. is anyone else hearing those bells?
Bell?
Ding, ding, ding every once in a while?
No, I don't hear anything.
No, what? I don't hear anything.
Must be something on my end then. Okay.
That's an angel getting his wings, John.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Once you take control of the board now.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's a tough case. I mean, it's not tough. It shouldn't have been tough. It should have been easy, you know what I mean? And I don't know. And that whole prison phone system's got to go. It is so egregious. They're getting hundreds of – I think it cost you like $60 an hour. Or maybe even more to talk on them stupid prison phones.
That's a crime.
Oh, when you first hear the call, you got $178 left on your prison phone, blah, blah, blah. And I've called a couple times. We've had some people that were in jail. And, you know, they got you set up in there so you have very minimal, almost none, contact with the outside world. And if you don't have somebody to feed money or put money in an account for you, you can't even call out. And guess what?
Yeah.
You don't even get to talk to your attorneys if you even happen to have one. Well, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But you know what I mean? That whole thing is really egregious. Look, at the judges are making money. The freaking prosecutors are making money. The phone companies are making money. I mean, can they make enough money, make money enough different ways on these people? They got to get their pound of flesh. But, yeah, that is a shame. And look, he's pretty popular. You know, too bad he couldn't get he needs people to show up there and to call and to write. And, you know, when they see that he has a following, I mean, most of his videos got quite a few hits. If those people would get a little bit more proactive, I think that they would feel the pressure a little more, you know.
Majority of the people that I know in the pro-life community and the family rights community, when you talk common law, common courts, the courts of record and all that there, they want to just veer away from that. They don't want to have anything to do with it. You know, they think it's a bunch of hogwash. But I'm here to tell you, I can just see that process working every time you go into court.
Yeah, well, you would think that they would be a group that would be more open to it because, you know, it is based on those biblical principles. And so certainly if they can't carry the torch, I don't know who will. But,
the problem is, and the majority of them will tell you, wait a minute, that's not going to work. I've seen too many people steamrolled over. Well, that's because they didn't apply the process right. You know, it's not that they weren't good people. It's not that they couldn't hold a good argument or anything. It's just that their process is not right. If your process is not right when you go into court, it won't work.
No, it won't. And if you and if you're continually consenting without even knowing it, then you're that's even worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, you know, like that one judge said, he said 80 or 90% of the people are in jail because they opened their mouths, and that's exactly true. But let's get moving along. We got a lot of people. I appreciate that call, and it is something that I've been watching. You know what I mean? It's an important case. So thanks a lot. We're looking forward to hearing from you again there.
Okay. Well, I just hope that this group would take notice of this injustice and keep updated on it. You know, I'll call in from time to time and maybe stir the pot a little bit.
Not be anything we could do right now, but certainly once we get into power, you definitely want to remind us of this case if we don't keep it on our own memory, and we will do something about it once we're in power. That's in Florida.
It initiated in Florida, Pensacola.
Right. John, he's got so many good videos, this guy. I mean, you real interesting.
Send me a video, too, when you get a chance.
Yeah, he does a real good job. He's got a good sense of humor, you know what I mean? They got him doing like a argument with Bill Nye, the science guy. I mean, it's hilarious because these guys are ridiculous. They have no argument for him, you know? But anyway, he's very, very good. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Shorty. Remind us from time to time. We'll get people to go out to his, you know, some of his videos. That'll help. Okay.
Well, there was a guy named Pro Bold down there in Pensacola, Florida, and he turned me on to you guys. And so I looked on the forum, and I found out you guys were having a call tonight. So that's how I came about getting in here. Another brother introduced me to this program.
Well, that's the way it works. That's the process.
And get out to the website and, you know, devour our front page and join up. Let's save America. That's what we're trying to do right now.
All right.
Thank you, Shorty. Yep. Okay, Paul from Michigan, you got the floor.
Yeah, in regard to the topic a while ago, inalienable, in 1903, there was a big controversy. And so the Congress appointed the State Department to contact Britain and go to the two Declaration of Independence and check the exact wording. And they did, and it came back unalienable.
Unalienable, yes.
Unalienable.
Right.
And
that's the word that I usually use, unalienable.
Yeah. And they were using the 1740 Oxford Dictionary at that time. And that said that inalienable was a weaker word. And that's why he used it.
Black's law says they're synonymous. Black's law says Black's
law was written by attorneys, right?
Well, no, Black's law has been here for, you know, hundreds of years. You know, it's been around for quite some time. And I usually use the fourth edition. Anything after the fourth edition starts to become really suspect. They start to, a lot of problems, a lot of changes, things left out, court cases left out, you know, because they're trying to change things. They're trying to take control, and that's how they do it. They're deceptive. So, yeah, they've got control of the Black's Law, so I wouldn't use like the, I think they're up to the seventh edition or eighth edition or something. I definitely would not use that. Addition to try to find my information. We did post, I'm pretty sure, well, I know we posted, we've got the fourth, Black's fourth in electronic form up on our website, people to download. We also have Brevieres. I use both of them. I go back and forth between the two. I usually use Black's, but sometimes I'll double check with to see what Brevieres got.
Okay. Anyway, the definition of the inalienable is rights cannot be given up without the consent of one possessing of such rights. And there's a court case on that, Morrison versus
State. Inalienable, Black's Fourth says it cannot be sold or transferred. Even you can't even give up your own rights. God gave them to you. You can't give them up, and you can't separate. You can choose not to exercise them, but that's about it.
Okay.
But if you choose not to exercise them, and then people will say, well, you gave up your rights. So you know, we'll do this, that, the other thing. But if you wake up one day and say, Don, I want to exercise my rights now. Well, now they gotta take consideration of your rights now. So you can't, it cannot be changed. It can't be sold. It can't be transferred. That's the key meaning of it. And unalienable is the word that was used in the Declaration of Independence, but inalienable has come up often in the courtroom. In other words, the Supreme Court has used the word inalienable and unalienable. They use them both.
I understand that, but there's a court case in Missouri that I supposedly explains that, and I did not look it up itself, but I was given that case.
Two things. Number one, you can't necessarily always believe the court case because it could be repugnant to the Constitution. So you got to really research it. If it seems a little shaky or concerning, you want to really dig deep to find out whether it has any merit. That's number one. Number two. With the exception of the United States Supreme Court, personally, I don't consider or hold give any weight to any Supreme Court ruling, any state Supreme Court ruling, because every state Supreme Court is going forward in chancery only, and their equity. So all the decisions are in decisions of equity. I prefer the common law, and equity should be under the rules of the common law, but they don't do that. They do it under the rules of chancery. But I prefer the court of law, where you have, the juries involved. And so that's where you really want to be, is in the court of law. I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Okay. That's all I got. Thanks.
All right. Go ahead, Rod. You got it.
Okay. Let me get over to my mouse here. We got the next one is Richie, I believe. From New Hampshire. Let me go to the next guy here. Okay, Richie from New Hampshire. You're unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And I apologize for this, John, but would you mind repeating...
How you doing, Rich?
Good, thank you. Would you mind repeating where I can find the information that you gave tonight on the webpage?
Click on the media, okay? I'll go there with you. Click on media. And this page here is the most important page, in my opinion, at this point in time for our members to really get some deep insight and information on the courts, the system, how it works. But the first information that you'll come up to, which are some downloads, is the writ of quo warranto, the information in the Bill of Exchange, and mandamus to the sheriff. Those are the papers being filed. And then below that, we have other papers that are very important that assist people, and they're both in PDF and Word, so that's where it's at. Now, I remember what I was going to say about the courts. The courts are operating in the state level under equity, under the rules of equity, under the Judiciary Act of 1789, which is null and void. As a matter of fact, Marbury versus Madison made it clear that there were a lot of problems in that case, and they talked about the inconsistency between the decisions or the law, the legislation, shall I say, of the Judiciary Act of 1789 and the Constitution. So a lot of the stuff was overturned in that. But they continue as if it's part of the law. They don't care. But all of these state courts, they're total equity courts, and their decision-making is not authoritative. They're not under the Constitution of the United for the United States of America. And a lot of the state constitutions are pretty weak. You might have some strong stuff in there, but you got a lot of garbage. At least I know here in New York, we got a lot of garbage in our Constitution. But we also have some good, powerful stuff in the Constitution, too. So you could see it was written in a battle. But a lot of the stuff in the New York Constitution is null and void because it's repugnant to the United States Constitution. And Article 6 of the United States Constitution clearly says that if that is not conforming to the Constitution for the United States and the laws made by the United States, then they have no merit. They're not withstanding. So the thing is I never use, I used to use, but I don't do it anymore. I do not use any state decisions. Something may sneak by once in a while. I mean, why not use the leverage of it? But basically, I'd stick with the United States Supreme Court rulings.
Okay, thank you, John. Appreciate it.
All right.
Okay. Can you hear me?
We can.
Not now, we don't.
Yeah, where are you, Gerard? You fell off here?
I'm here. And the
okay,
next caller is unknown 0445. Give me your name.
Oh, yeah,
he's
called before.
Oh.
Unknown? I see unknown up there a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fact,
that's
there's two of them up there right now.
Yeah. You got twins.
Yeah. Yeah, how you doing, John? Yeah, I called in about 3 weeks ago. Right, at least the number is the 0445 is coming up. So this is Edward from Connecticut.
Okay.
Maybe someone can fix that as we're going. I got to walk away for a few minutes. I'm going to get some water. I'll be back in a few. But go right ahead, Ed.
Okay. Thank you, John. Yeah, hi, Gerard.
Hey.
Yeah, as you know, I always try to pick out these inconsistencies with the present system to show how important your National Liberty Alliance is and what they're doing. In one case, I found where a judgment or an order by a judge is not appealable in this particular circumstance, which, as you know, yourself and John has always spoke about, anyone could normally appeal. The next level would always be, three judges in the appellate court. And then, of course, if you didn't get satisfaction, you could go to the state Supreme Court. In this particular case, there's like a loophole. And I don't mean the case, but this is what happened all the time. It's a family court issue. And the way they're getting around it is because they're calling it a temporary order. So what that's doing is making the judge not accountable for his actions. So this is something that sort of fell into our lap here. And see what he could do when the temporary order expires, say, in a quarter of a year. He could then do another temporary order. And that would make it that the person in question would never be able to appeal that decision.
Well, listen, if they're violating your constitutional rights, you don't have to go up through those courts. You can go right to the federal court if it's a constitutional issue, which it would become a constitutional issue at some point because they're denying your right to due process. You know, they can't play these games where you get no recourse. You know, at some point they're going to be violating your inalienable rights, and now you have to take it up to those courts. You know, Thornton likes to go through each level of court because he figures you get another swat at it. But you know, we've been swatting in these lower courts, and it doesn't seem to matter how many times you swat them. You know, the state just sticks with the state, and they never poke the other guy in the eye like they're supposed to. So, you know, it's we're going to have to bring more of them up there to the federal level. And I know, look at once you. The other thing you have to do is when you get a judge that violates your inalienable rights, and you're going to take it into federal court, you have to sue him personally. You have to put his flesh on the line. You have to get him off your case. You have to scream foul. Look, these guys are just like anybody else, and family court's big for this too, you know. If you sit there and wring your hands and you look weak, they'll roll over you. You have to jump up and down like a mad Rumpelstiltskin, and they want to get you the heck out of there because they don't know what you're going to do, you know. And you know, they want people that go quietly into the night. They don't want people screaming and that. So make a lot of noise, and I would go after them personally because that's the only thing they understand. And the least it would do would be to get that judge off of that case, and maybe they'll stop playing that game with them, you know?
Right. No, I understand just what you're saying, especially just previously when you were mentioning about, normally you're going up through the ranks with the different levels of courts, and then, you know, mostly you're not getting much results, but at least, somebody's doing something and something could happen. And like you're saying, in this case, it's like there's no rights whatsoever. And,
no, and the other thing is, you know, look, at the state controls the state pretty good. They stick together. But once you take it out of their court, they're not sure that – look, at that federal judge doesn't really want to stick his neck out for the state judge, especially if the state judge is blatantly violating your rights. And so when it gets up into that federal court, that judge also has to think about his skin and the decision that he makes. There's not too much sticking up that – I think that they're willing to do on a really incompetent lower court judge. You know, they'll turn on them if they have to. You know, they have nothing to hang their hat on. They're gonna, and that judge knows that he doesn't have control over those federal judges. And sometimes that's all it takes when they see that you're putting the paperwork together. You know, to get out of their court, and they're gonna lose control of it. Because look, in the state courts, there's no whole bars. They change transcripts. They pull papers out of files and everything else. And I mean, we've gone back and forced them to put them back in. And I mean, that's what you got to do. And I mean, even to this day, you know, we probably should go back and make sure that the papers we forced them to put in are still there, because I don't trust any of them.
Right.
But you know, and I mean, that's just a strategy that you have to do. And until we get into the courts, I mean, you know, pray we get in the courts, because this is epidemic right now. It's ridiculous. It's just, and the family court is the worst. But anyway, we appreciate you bringing that up, Ed. And I'm going to move to the next guy, unless you got something real.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, thank you, Gerard.
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you. Yeah. New Jersey, Jason. How you doing, Jason?
Oh, fantastic. It's been a great week. You know, since February the 26th, I've been engaged with the U.S. courthouse. And the more that I interact with them, the questions and the responses are totally despondent. I ask a question, how do you go and pursue the federal grand jury? Well, you have to go to the U.S. prosecutor. And since it's not out of order. And also the fact that when I made a statement that they had the same powers as the sheriff. Oh, you misread that. How can I misread something that's in black and white? we should be looking into using the USC 18-1001. It reads that if they give us this information or a print fraud, they're obligated for prison time, and they do it. That's one of the things they do to us daily. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was almost going to congratulate you on your engagement when you said you were engaged. I saw he's engaged with the court. I thought, that's not a good move.
Well, that's why most marriages end in divorce. But most marriages last longer in the common law. But the state of New Jersey, they don't even recognize it. But what is common law but the land?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand how they get away with that. But, well, look, it's good you're still beating around in there. It helps, you know what I mean?
Well,
you know, I keep swatting.
Well, again, this is very interesting. I'm a Toastmaster. I've been doing it for the last 3 years. I'm going to my gold level, which I just need 5 plus 2 more things to finish up my gold. But I went to a Toastmaster contest, evaluation, and also international. I came in second place out of 4 guys for evaluation. But the real thing is, there were 40 people there. I went out, wanted to get people to sign up for the mandamus, and I only got 12 people, including myself, signed up. I only got 30% of the people who were there, and most of these people, they've known me for years, and that only 30 people signed up, and that's really a good average. The average American will actually respond to 25%. To get 30, that was even more spectacular. Another thing is happening. Now, in 1981, the U.S. Supreme Court, Warren versus the District of Columbia, stated that the police are not obligated by Constitution to protect their citizens. and they are only to be there to arrest criminals and to do investigations. Are they going to arrest themselves because they're so criminal?
Well, you know, if things were straightened out, you know, when one law-abiding officer sees another one breaking the law, they would do exactly that. But you know that's never going to happen.
Well, everyone's part of the take. And,
anyway, I think you did pretty good getting 30 people to sign up, and especially people that know you. But let me tell you why. You're going to have more trouble.
30% of 12
or
30% people,
rather. That's what I meant.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You look at sometimes it's harder to convince people that know you forever than it is perfect strangers, because they have preconceived ideas about who you are, what you're doing, and they go, here's Jason with another one of his things that he did, because you've always been very active, and so they got a certain idea, and so they're probably more standoffish. So if you got 30%, you did good.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And that's excellent. I just want you to know, too, that we have a gentleman as a patriot proving in Washington, D.C. that the United States government is a corporation, and they keep on throwing him back in jail because he won't admit to the state is a corporation. So they keep on busting his chops. They give him 6 months for contempt for staying in course. Anyway, we have to attack the state as a corporation via consumer fraud, because if you think about it, are we getting what we're paying for? No. And the whole point is of to have service. And if you're not getting quality, why are you paying for it to be chefed? That's a thought. And
Yeah. There's lots of angles, and that's certainly one of them, you know.
Right.
And whole corporate thing.
Right. And one thing I folks out there, please be engaged positively with the beast. And I want you to know, I also met the U.S. Sheriff in New Jersey. When I went down there with Lydia and Terrence, we had a good time trying to speak to the grand jury. But I've been trying to communicate with the U.S. Marshals since February. And in this, with important papers being put down with the sheriff not doing his job, six people sending back my filed documents that were put in their courthouse, and they returned back to me. Bad move, right? Will you agree?
Yeah.
Bad news and all the things they violated. So I gave a claim in, and I gave the sheriff a reprieve because he didn't take any action. So he had an opportunity to do, he has now two counts against him for not doing his job as ordered by me. And again, he's being controlled by these prosecutors. Everything is outrageous. Now, everyone in the country needs to go to their federal grand jury and test the waters and do the affidavits with your three people. How much is that? That's 150 people? 50 states times three? I don't know.
Right,
but I'm just saying,
right.
Lydia has proven that the system is wrong. It is crazy. Holder, if she gets appointed, Holder's replacement, Lynch gets appointed, we have a holder in drag.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, I'm going to end this with this. God bless you and Gerard and your writings. They are so fantastic. And to the fog bowl people, go blow your horn I don't care. We are here to do a job, and we are all fearless. We are all think for ourselves, and we act on our own. But we do it collectively. And that's what makes NLA dangerous. Hey, by the misinformation of the 1001, everyone needs to go and ask to be taken off the 2010 FBI extreme domestic terrorist, because we proved that we're not. And by them still falsifying information, they are liable for that order. Would you agree, Gerard?
Absolutely. Hey, can you hear me? Am I muted?
No, I hear you.
Okay, because I lost my button somehow. That's weird.
If you lose two of them, you lost the chat.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, I agree. And we're going to move on to the next one here. Yeah. Keep up the good fight there, Jason. We appreciate
that. Please, thank you so much. And please, everyone, do your best. I mean, the best part is to be engaged with the stupid. And that's it. Please be engaged. And thank you so much, Gerard. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Jason. Yeah.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, I have an unknown here with the last number of 5165. You're unmuted. Give me your name and your
state. Hey, Gerard. Johnny B., Kansas.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Got to get that fixed, man.
What's new and exciting?
Well, I got a couple bits of information. We had a one of my members here, actually in Montgomery County, hit on the fundraiser. And I sent a couple of emails forward and let Carl know. It's Carl Hempel. Mm-hmm. You all should have his information. But I told him he might want to circle around and give you guys a shout.
Yep.
Don't have the information right in front of me, but it's redundant. Just if you can't find it, just contact me. I'll send it forward. On Kent Hovind's issues down in Pensacola.
Yes.
He's got a website that's 2peter3.com.
Okay.
Let me repeat that. Pretty sure that's the one that has all of his court documents and the whole process he's gone through.
Yeah, he has a lot of videos too on YouTube all over the place.
Oh yeah, they've been posting them for quite a while.
Well, he's been at it for a lot of years.
Yeah. And we heard this morning they've got a meeting with Carl Lentz going on in St. Joseph, Missouri. So the four state area up there, Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, or anybody else, contact for information is klinfo418@gmail.com. Send them an email and they'll get the information to you. I'm sure it'll be a pretty tight meeting area, so I don't know if they're selling tickets or what yet. Haven't got any information back yet. But he is working, the lady mentioned that he was working with family court specifically.
Right.
And he's actually got CPS and sheriff's officers to stand down in a couple instances where they come to kidnap the children.
Well, that's a big accomplishment, and that's a favorite one of mine because it's where the most abuse is done. My goodness, we're going to chew our kids up in this system and spit them out. It's ridiculous. So
absolutely,
it's good to hear, and it's good to stick together. And other than the election stuff that we did, you know, our first thing was in family court. That was an eye-opening experience. My goodness gracious, what a horrible bunch of people that were in there. It was just, you know, to see the way that they rip families apart and the stuff that goes on. And it's no wonder they got a bunch of crazy, you know, a bunch of cops there that are trigger-happy because, you know, they got to make the judges feel safe. Well, the judges are over there violating and ripping their lives apart. I mean, I don't know how these guys sleep at night, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And here they are bringing military tactics down in the middle of a family squabble. I mean, it just don't make no sense.
Oh, yeah. And then they make money. They put them in jail for nothing. You know what I mean? My goodness, the guys, forget about it. If they owe any money or anything like that, they suck them into them jails. And they get them in. I mean, they make it impossible for them to pay, and then they put them in jail for not paying. You know, it's a catch-22 situation they got going there. And it really bothers me that these guys know when they bang their gavel, they're building up their retirement accounts. We really got a lot of work to fix these courts. And I would like to see the family courts fixed right away.
Absolutely. I heard tell, it's been a couple, 3 weeks back, somebody mentioned that they had been told there's a $150,000 bounty on the children's heads to CPS. They actually get a bounty for the children they removed from the home.
Yeah, well,
but that's rumor.
Well, I know, but there's a lot of horror stories, and you know, we had somebody last week, and they were questioning the investigator that was sent out to investigate, and they took these four kids away from the parents for years, and one of them was an infant, and she said, "Where are the children?" He couldn't answer her. He didn't even know. You know what I mean? They disappeared them. They're running.
Into that black hole.
That's right. They're running these child trafficking rings is what they're doing. And the closer you are to Washington, D.C., the worse it gets. I hate to say that.
Well, that makes sense.
But yeah,
came to me as I was digging that information up. It's KL, like Carl Lentz, info 418. I'm pretty sure that's the weekend it'll be going on. It's April 18th. At gmail.com.
Okay. Take note of that. Anything else?
Yeah, I had something else, but it jumped out of my head, so it must not have been too important.
Okay. Well, so, you can always get back in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We always got next week.
Yeah. Thank you, Johnny. We always like to hear from you. Talk to you again.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I'm Julius from Newburgh, New York, and Orange County.
Hey, how's it going, Julius?
All right. There's a lot of stuff going here in Orange County and Newburgh.
Oh, yeah. What's going on in Newburgh?
Well, I recently found out that the governor is supporting the new commissioner of social services to fund more money into CPS to take away children from at-risk families, and they're cutting welfare also.
Yeah, so they're going to put them in these dire straight situations.
Yeah, the governor's supporting her, giving her another $4 million and another $20 million towards more CPS workers.
Yeah,
but they also Social Services also claims that the federal government is broke.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
Well, it's not good for a lot of us that are on welfare that need it.
No, I mean that they wouldn't be, the federal government, you mean with the welfare. Well, really, that really doesn't come from the federal government. That comes out of the states.
Oh, yeah, taxes.
It's all fed back up, and then you got to beg it back. It's a really dysfunctional system. And they're not broke. Listen, they print all the money they need.
I know all too well about CPS. I've dealt with it for 27 years.
Mm.
Yes, and I had a few of my children taken away too.
Well, that's a horrible thing. I don't know what to tell you there. You know, there's nothing. There's no comfort I can give you. You know, I don't even want to imagine it.
It's
but
very
anyway,
hard.
Anyway, look at the best thing you can do with them. And what we have going right now is that court watcher system. They're not used to it. They don't function well. They're not used to people pushing back. And as far as I'm concerned, they're low-hanging fruit because they just violate the law with impunity. And so it should be easier to hold their feet to the fire. Sue them personally. Get it out of their court.
Me and my wife actually pushed back real hard. And you know, they pushed even harder, but we backed them into a corner, but they still got what they wanted in the end anyway because the attorneys that were working for us were basically working for them.
Well, that's why we don't go in with attorneys because that ultimately the judge orders the attorney when things get hot. And what do you think the attorney's going to do? You're like fourth on his list, you know that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So you really can't use them. They're horrible.
We also had the forensic psychologist was brought in on our case. We got into him so bad because he's also former military. He actually quit his job, his own practice, after a while. But we had him openly admit to perjury in court, and he got away with it.
Yeah, well, those are things that, you know what, save your records, and when the grand jury gets in, you have them indicted. These people are making records for on themselves, you know?
Oh, yeah, the judge who actually did our court case was running for Supreme Court over here also.
Right, right. Well, it's an ugly system, and the best thing I could do is try to stay out of it as much as you can, you know? I don't know. I mean, I understand why people pick up and run, because sometimes you're better off leaving the state and getting the hell out just to stay away from their clutches. You know, once they get a hold of you, it's hard to get away from their system, you know? So,
I can actually barely hear your phone is breaking up.
Yeah, I don't know. I got some problems here with my speaker and my mute.
Yeah, it might be on his side because you're coming in clear here.
Oh, okay. I lost my
mute. It might be
button.
On his side.
I can hear
right.
You now.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to go on to the next guy so we get everybody in. Thanks for contributing there. Good to hear from local Newburgh. Okay. Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah.
Gerard, okay. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes, Gerard. This is William from Classic Redneck Radio. I'd like to thank all the National Liberty Alliance people for listening, and we're honored to broadcast 2 hours of your call each week. And I just want to say that we have to sign off now because we have another hot program we've got to run right at this juncture. So we want to thank you all for the ability to get the word out.
Thank you very much, William. We appreciate it. And you know, we're right there, and we're in this battle together, and we want, you know, God's work to prevail here with the nation and with the people. So with our efforts, hopefully all things will be restored. Thanks, William.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now, everybody.
Bye. Okay. I guess I got Ronald from Oregon unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Gerard, hello.
Hello.
I just want to comment that once upon a time, I found myself there in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It was between the years 95 and 2000, and I stumbled into a little museum they had close to the water there in Plymouth. And inside this glass case they had with different things in it was another little picture frame with paper in it, and it was inside this glass case, and it said this. This may not be an exact quote because it's been that many years ago now, but it said that if an Esquire was found or seen within 100 miles of any encampment, he could be and will be shot on sight.
No kidding.
Well, it only makes sense the reason that, you know, they've been slaughtering us ever since they've had the full tilt boogie on that ability.
Where did you find that? It was museum.
Yeah, it was in a museum that was there right in Plymouth. It may have been a little suburb, but it was all right there. It was just not far from where they do the reenactment of the Mayflower that comes in. They got a little whale wash boat, but it was in a little museum right there, next to a hotel or in the hotel, and it was just in this case, and it was a plaque, but it said that if any Esquire was seen within 100 miles of any encampment, he could and will be shot on sight.
Now, what year about was that? I mean, that was before the Constitution.
It seemed to be the late 1700s time. You know, sometime about the time the Mayflower came in. I really can't. It would just be speculation for me to try to remember. But there was a
date. I'm just hoping against hope that it's an old law that's still on the books. That's all.
Well, I mean, it, of course, anytime, they come at us, we've got the right to take care of business, but, you know, we've been kind of, what, domesticized or something like that?
Oh, yeah, and dumbed down and everything else, yes.
And then here for those that like to read magazines, there's a magazine called Urban Growth Magazine. I can't tell you where it's published. I only saw it once from a homeless man on the street had it, and he showed it to me. And there was an article in there how they've been farming we two-legged critters, you know, since for a very, very long time. And it gives the whole breakdown of the plan, and it shows you and explains to you. And it's very well written so that any layman could read this thing and go, yeah, okay, that's why I feel like I do, and that's why things are like they are. You know, we're just being herded and culled and
cattle. I think they even refer to us as chattel.
Certainly. And then to give credence to a lady who's now deceased, Pamela Gaston, her husband still lives. His name is Will. She put together a website to display her work that she was doing here within the De Jure area of Oregon. It was called The Voice for Children. And, you know, she was real interested in doing what she could to expose, you know, how they've been trafficking us here on this plantation as their slave and property. And she ended up giving her life for that. It's suspect on how she died. None really know, but she did end up dead. And she practiced her work from a common law stance always.
Right.
And she was never favored. She was always pretty successful because she had such a good following too that went with her. So anytime they knew that they were going to deal with Pam, you know, they had to deal with, you know, anywhere from 75 to 100 other people.
Yeah, that's very important. There is that safety in numbers, and look at, I don't care that those judges, they're political animals, and if there's only one thing they fear more than the party, which pushes them around a little bit, is the people. And if the people get together and get angry, the judges know that, you know, they could have trouble next election or whatever, you know. Plus, you know, a lot of those judges, they should get nervous when people come in, because they certainly got skeletons in their closet, you know. They like everything quiet. So if you're in there making noise, you know, they don't know that they won't be the next one that gets, you know, hung up somewhere, you know.
That's right. Here's a cliche that I saw on a T-shirt in the basement of a church that was promoting cognitive awareness to many different ideas and folks, and on this one shirt it said, slavery is the legal fiction that person is property. Corporate personhood is the legal fiction that property is person. And as far as I'm concerned, that's how I see it. I understand that very clearly. That's what's going on here. So, you know, let's turn that back around.
Right.
What are they doing? They're mixing codes, which they only use to bring us into their venue. You never hear much after that unless they're trying to sound good and big and highfalutin with their, what, pettifogging and poppycock?
Right.
That's the language of the shyster, /attorney. You know, so it's just, you know, I'm telling you, I'm grateful that I'm alive to push another day and to accept another bad act, but, you know, congratulations to all who stand and share and spread and stick together. And, you know, if nothing else, at least, you know, we're not watching TV tonight.
Right. Well, Ronald, I'll tell you what, we're all born into this day and this time for a purpose. You know, we're right where we need to be. So you have to figure out what part you're going to play in it. And you certainly have a part to play. And that's our destiny. I mean, I always thought I wanted to be born 200 years ago, but you know what? We're living in very exciting times. We got a lot of work to do. So there's no place that I'd rather be right now, but in this, you know, to see the outcome of this, you know, for better, for worse. So it's our destiny, and that's what we're going to do. I'm going to move on now. Okay.
Well, let me just say this, Gerard. Next time you're talking about Thomas Jefferson with John there, ask John what Thomas's birthday was, and you'll find that mine was exactly 200 years later to the day.
No kidding. Yeah. And there's something about, I think it was Jefferson and who was it? They died within hours of each other, the contemporaries. Hamilton and Jefferson, I think. They died the same day.
Adams and Jefferson.
Adams and Jefferson, very
freaky. Yeah, Hamilton was killed by Burke.
Right.
Oh, and Edmund Burke, he's the one that's got his face on many different walls and mausoleums in the realms of bureaucracy. Where I first saw his picture was in the marble halls of Olympia, Washington, which is where their bureaucratic headquarters is, and it said this underneath his face. It said, "The only thing it takes for an evil man to triumph in his evil ways is for John and Gerard to sit back and watch him.
Well, see,
in other words, everything it takes for an evil man to triumph is for a good man to sit on his hands and watch.
There you go. Yep.
Now, my condolences to Laura here in Oregon. I don't know where she's faded to, but I know she's well and safe, and that's good. I love you, Laura. Thank you, John. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Ronald. We'll go to the next guy here. Thanks for that. Okay, John. Semper Fi. You're unmuted.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can. Yep.
All right. This is Johnny here in Orlando, Florida.
Yep.
And I've been working hard this week here to try to identify a bunch of things going on here that we've had problems with. And so it took about 4 days to figure out this directive coming from the courts. And I've actually reverse engineered this now and have pretty much figured out what it all means. Basically, all the courts have their own short version of directives, which really points to the federal rules of civil procedure. So if you want to talk pig Latin out in open in a courtroom or to attorneys and not have anybody understand what you're talking about, you would talk about maybe Article 11 or Article 12. You can add something to it. And anybody that knows this would just look at the federal rules of civil procedure and they'd say, well, you said this on 11 and you said this case law, so this must be the subject that you're talking about. And so it's basically a way for them to real quickly deceive what they're talking about and allow anybody that's listening that knows the game plan to be able to understand it so therefore they can talk and work in open. And are you with me on that so far?
I think I kind of sort of am. I'm not sure I got the whole thing down.
Well, actually, there's more to it than that because when they talk about case laws and things, if you go on the internet and you look it up, you'll see a whole bunch of case laws there, and those case laws are grouped up. And I'm not quite sure that I have that part completely figured out, but I'm right on it. But I have a friend, retired judge, that has the PACER program. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I've been in it a little bit. I didn't quite master it, but yeah, I'm familiar.
He's been training me, Gerard, on really what's going on and all the things that he knows. He was a county judge. He was on their wrong side, is the way he explains it. He said that the judge thing really went down really hard in the 70s. And from then on, when they took the city courts away and did other things, that's when all this stuff really started going sideways. And I remember that because I'm in that age bracket when they did that here in Florida anyway.
Right.
But through the PACER, going through the PACER and have him to explain these things to me, it actually made a lot better sense. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but we really need to be using that PACER program once this kicks off, because it really tells us a lot of things going on in the court system. It was a real eye-opener to me to use that PACER program with what I know and what he's telling me.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That's probably true on the federal level. When you're on the state and the county level,
mm-hmm.
I think the attorneys are like third grade. I mean, I've heard more stupid stuff coming out of attorneys. At the county level, they don't know any law. They don't even have any code. They don't even care. What they're schooled in is backroom deals. That's what they're good at. So, when you, like John says, when you get into the federal level, those guys are chess players. And you have to be careful on the federal level, especially if you're going to stand there and talk, because they'll move you through more jurisdictions before you know what the heck's going on. They got you so liquid, you got no ground under you. So you got to be really good on your feet when you're in court.
He's been telling me for a long time now how we really need to be doing this, and at first I didn't know whether he knew what he was talking about or not, but, you know, because he's like 85 years old. The guy's pretty sharp, and after listening to the reasons why he tells me this, but basically he says that every time they violate a right, we need to have that filed in court under common law. No matter how small. Yeah, everybody that gets a right violated needs to start filing these cases.
Yeah, we had somebody else that addressed that, and
he
you
said
know,
that's the only way that we're going to force this issue is to put the gloves on and start putting them in the court, getting in their pocket, and the ones that really mess up start getting them some jail time.
Well, you know, I always felt it was useless to file a complaint with the Judiciary Committee, what do they call it, the Oversight Committees, because especially here in New York, and they're more corrupt than the judges they're watching. They even had to shut them down. They were stealing so much money out of the probate court. However, we had I believe it was a judge that said, look it, he said, you have to file the complaints, and don't think that they don't make a difference, because... he said, but when you're in court, you have to put it on the record. Like what those oversight committees do is they grab the transcript, and a lot of times the abuse that the judge was giving the person now violating their rights, it's not in the transcript, and you have to stand there and go, let the record show that the judge blah blah blah, and then it has to be in the transcript, and that's what they give them sanctions on. You see, these judges are experts on pulling stuff, you know, and keeping it off the transcript and saying things offhandedly and stuff, you know. So you have to be good enough to make sure that it gets in the record so that when you make a complaint and they go back in, that it's actually in the transcript, because then they can act on it. And I don't know how, you know, I don't know how well that'll work, but I think if more and more people do it and they get lots of them, I think, again, they become overwhelmed.
The software that I'm writing to make these forms for us, this gentleman's helping me a little bit with it, but we should have no problem of going through and just doing clicks in a computer program with a laptop and really spitting out some really serious forms for these purposes that we need to use them for.
Right, right.
And now there's one other thing that he showed me. I'm just going to mention it. Somebody else can go digging. I've already... seen a couple of them that he showed me. Nobody really knows how many corporate constitutions we have. Does anybody there know?
No, I don't know. No.
Okay, so for the U.S. side, we know there's two, but there may be three. But you've got the other seven states that Obama was talking about a while back. Well, apparently each one of them have two. Like Puerto Rico, Guam, Virgin Islands, and these places.
Right.
Anyway, he presented me a theory that I think he could be right, that these are like doorways or vaults, kind of like doorways to a house, so that if somebody's at the front of the house, you can go in through the back and nobody will see you.
Right.
If you want to treat it as a vault or a bank, you can move money in and out at will. And he said those are the things that we really need to be looking at to bring this thing completely down.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, I didn't know if somebody there knows. Maybe somebody already has done all the legwork on this. But I've already seen a couple corporate things that I didn't know that existed that this gentleman showed me. And so I'm sure there's other people that's probably been working on this that's smarter than I am. But anyway, if they do, they can get a hold of me at NLA. I would like to know so I can start a list of these things.
Right, right.
But
okay.
Anyway, that's all I have. I appreciate the talk. I hope this information helps everybody.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Talk to you again.
You guys have a great evening.
You too. Okay, New York, Walt, you're up.
Yes, Jared. Hello, and hello, Jack. I want to ask you a question. Real quick one before the main question. The 3-cent stamp issue, if I send that to try to see if it works, because I heard John say it does work, can they arrest me for trying to defraud the post office?
Absolutely not. We've already addressed that many times. And I mean, we got a lot of mail that's been done with it. Now, some of these guys, if they're returning it, they're quoting that the rate was changed in, I don't know, 1974, whatever. But, you know, they were sold. They're a private corporation. And so they've never changed. Congress set the rate, and it's never been changed. And that's the law in the book, and that's what we're resting in, and that's what they have to go by.
Do you know what their law is? Do you write it on the envelope, or don't you say anything about it?
No, it's on the envelope. And then, matter of fact, if you go, there's a new letter to the Postmaster General and the postmaster that sends it back, and it's on the website under the filing, court filings. And I go in there and read what it says. I mean, in that one there, you got to take the, you know, you got to put the guy's name in, and that it's a boilerplate.
Yeah, he can go right up to highlight jurist, and I think everyone can see mailing instructions. Click on mailing instructions, and all of the details on how to do this is there. And the latest paper that we wrote for those who violate the law. A letter to the postmaster. I mean, anybody can duplicate that letter and send it in, but you can't duplicate it as the grand jury or the administrators for the grand jury unless you are, you know, if you're doing that business. But if you're doing it as a person, you can certainly just put your name on the top of it and send it to that postmaster and force him to obey the law. Or you're going to go see the grand jury concerning...
Well, can I just send a letter? See, these people in the jewelry store across the street want to see how this works, so they said, send us a letter. So can I just send a letter
Absolutely.
Across the street?
Look, just send a letter, 3 cents per half ounce, and you'll see it'll go through. But you know what? Worst comes to worst. You can play real dumb if you get nervous or something, and they try to give you a hard time, which they won't because they can't. Okay? They have this scary letter that they send out, but when you really look at it, it's talking about selling it, not doing it. And the information. And they're saying that they're considering it. It's not like they can do anything anyway. But because you can sell information on anything. But the bottom line is that, I put a 3 cent stamp on there. I mean, because that's really what they're going to think anyway from a regular person going, anybody generally speaking, they may just realize that, they put a 3 cent stamp on here. They should have put a 48 cents or whatever it's supposed to be, 47.
All right, here's my question. I sent a criminal complaint, generic, to the U.S. Prosecutor, Department of Justice at the federal courthouse in Rochester, about two judges. They denied due process to this young man about a traffic issue. They stole his car. He never had a court case. They were afraid to bring him in court. And I sent it certified. They received it. But the U.S. attorney has not responded. So what should I do about that?
I wouldn't even bother. They're probably not going to respond, and they're just going to hope you to go away. But what I would do is sue all the officers in that court for violating due process, period. Nothing else to talk about. Sue them all and bring them into a court of record under the correct jurisdiction and lay it out in such a way that the judge is going to be clearly understood that you're giving them notice that you're going to be sued too. You know, and just by writing your paperwork, he's going to know this is something we got to deal with and get rid of.
All right. Can I ask you just one more thing about what happens if I go down there to the federal courthouse or call them on the phone and say, are you going to answer my complaint?
I would never do a complaint. You know, the other way you could do it is you do the only thing necessary for a prima facie case is an affidavit. So you make an affidavit, you get your affidavit, you go down to the federal court, and you go to the marshal and you say, I want to file a complaint, and here's my affidavit, where do I sign? And now they got a case on the books.
Okay, thank you.
No complaints. Don't do a complaint. Not even in court, don't do a complaint.
Well, I was going to ask you about, can I call the U.S. Marshal, ask them to help me with the U.S. prosecutor not answering my complaint?
I don't know that the U.S. You talk about the U.S. attorney, right?
The U.S. attorney is not responding because that's who I wrote the complaint to.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what you're going to get with that. No one's going to bother him, and Marshall isn't going to bother him either. But you see, you got to force them to do the right thing, and that's the tough part. So
what happens if I just call him on the phone? What would they say?
Well, look, at your best bet is to go file a complaint for a violation of due process, and file both criminal and civil. Tell them I want this to be criminal and civil. Because and go get the codes. We got the codes right up on the page on our website. Go get the codes to 241, 242, and what's the other one? I forget the other numbers. But, you know, 18. What is it? 142 something, and the other one's 18. But in any event, you get those codes, both criminal, you bring them together, criminal and civil. So you're going after them for a lawsuit because you've been damaged. You want to be, brought back to your original state. You've been damaged. And also you're filing federal charges against these people.
And you're saying the judges or also the U.S. attorney file a pursuit against him too?
You sue, what court did you have the problem in? County, town, city, what?
It was a town court with the judges. With one judge in the town, and then the DMV, after we caught them committing criminal acts, the judge, the DMV sent us to the state Supreme Court in Rochester, and he won't even answer the letter that we sent to him after his secretary says she handed it to him.
Well, look, you want to file criminal charges and see what they do there. As far as the town court is concerned, was there a prosecutor? Because now they seem to have prosecutors these days.
We were never into court, John. We showed up, and the deputy tried to force the young man to make a plea, and then we just got a receipt. And so that was part of criminal charge against the judge, that
he
allowed a police officer to adjudicate a case.
Wasn't there a prosecutor there?
There was nobody there except the deputy.
Okay, so you can go for the deputy. What kind of deputy? From the sheriff's department?
It was the town court deputy.
Okay, a bailiff is normally from the... the town... you wouldn't find the sheriff normally in the town. You
right.
find him in... Yeah. So,
they have their own
deputies. They got their own... So whoever officer, he's an officer of the court, you sue him and you sue the judge. And any other officer that was in that court, that sounds like there was only two of them.
But the judge wasn't even there.
Then I'm lost.
That's how bad it is. In other words, this deputy was running the court that night.
Oh, whoa. Okay. You know, they are taking something out of history here with the sheriff and the coroner, because they can run the court. But, you see, that's very interesting. Was the judge's name on the paper?
I can't remember on the tickets, so I can't remember right now. No, it wasn't.
Afterwards... It doesn't matter. There's got to be a judge.
Yeah, there was a judge. 2 or 3 months later, sent another letter to the young man saying there's going to be I forgot the word right now. They're going to have arraignment for a criminal charge. So we sent the letter back to the judge. His name is Giano, and he never answered, asking, is this young man required to attend the court? And what do you mean, we're going to have arraignment? Because it was only traffic infractions. So he never answered that, John, but here's what he did. He sent a false notice to the DMV after, saying we never responded to any summons. That's a lie. So we called the DMV about it. It's called a T-SLED unit. They referred us to the Supreme Court judge downtown in Rochester to take care of this problem. So we called there, talked to the secretary. Secretary said we can write a letter to explain everything to the judge. His name is Renzi. So we wrote everything, faxed it over. We called her. She said, I received it. I handed it to the judge. He's never answered our request. That one night we went to the court, John. When the deputy was running the court, we said, we want to see the court records for that evening. It was June 2nd, and all the court records. They won't let us see the court records, and Judge Renzi won't answer our request for information.
Sumo. Everyone in charge. It's a conspiracy.
Complete lack of law. There is no law. They're not following any rules. Nothing.
Well, all you could do is sue them in federal court. If you know how to do it, then you do it yourself. If you don't know how to do it, then you got to go through the marshal. The marshal still may not put it through because the U.S. attorney may kick it out. He'll put it through, but the U.S. attorney may come in and kick it out. And then you got to sue him and the judge for kicking it out. So it's another lawsuit. But I wouldn't even bother going to the marshal. I would file my papers and be the prosecutor, and I'd go in criminal and civil, because there's really only one court anyway. There's no real separation between civil and criminal, so it's the same court, and that's what I would.
What about the U.S. attorney that won't answer my complaint? Do we sue him too?
I don't know. I don't know that he. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought about that.
Now, the letter you wrote to the judge, you know, he doesn't have to answer that. That's a letter. If you didn't put it in as a court document, it doesn't
mean
anything.
No, but he went along with all
this. It was a request for information.
He went along with all this. That's the point. Look, if you went to court and somebody there other than a judge was doing all these decision-making and whatever they were doing, nevertheless, there was a judge on duty that day, and he left that person there. He gave them the authority. Sue them all. Find out who that person was. That's the judge to get. And then you sue that deputy and any other officer in your way right up the pike. You make a federal case about it. You go after, due process, and you sue him for not leaving you alone. You sue the cop, too. Because he's part of it. Whoever gave you the ticket, you got to sue that person, too.
Yeah, so that was a bill of attainder. That was pains and penalties, punishment without due process in court.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hey, Walt, it's Eric from the Courtroom Observer. Make sure you call me. I'll show up with some observers, and we'll document the case of some high sheriff of Nottingham running the town court. That's a best choice. Is that your Thalberg Court in Webster?
No, it's in Ogden Spencer Court. That's just west of Rochester.
All right, you call me next time you have court appearances. Make sure you do. You got my number. We've talked before, and I'll take care of your computer needs. If your computer's down, I'm going to go back on the conference call now. Walt, call me, okay? You got my number. It's Eric. Yep.
I know. You're just down the street in Panorama. I know where you're at. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
thank you, John, and thank you, Jerry. And God bless you.
Thank you. Yep. Okay, moving right along, we got California Bernard, or Bernard, or however you want to call it.
Oh, hi, Gerard and John. It's Bud from El Dorado County.
Oh, yes. How you doing?
Very good, thanks. The reason I'm calling is today we have a fourth administrator that, or potential administrator that wants to join up with us, but he's having trouble with the quiz, and he brought up a good point. Anyone that needs to or is trying to take the quiz and pass it and can't get through it without having, he said this is a very intelligent guy and someone we really want as one of our administrators, but so, you know, it's not like it's somebody that wasn't a student or couldn't study or whatever, but...
You mean he's having trouble because there's an answer that's not coming up, or you mean there's a problem in the quiz itself?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of any problems in the quiz in a long time.
I haven't.
But if anybody does have a problem, I'll tell you what, they need to send me an email. I need to know... They need to identify where they're at. There's numbers and parts, and also titles. So there's a title, number, and a part. If they send me that and send me the whatever information they have on that page, and get that to me at john@nationallibertyalliance.org, and I'll take care of that problem myself. No one should be having problems anymore. I thought we had corrected all of it. I haven't heard nothing in a while.
Yeah, because it's, something that, what if we had a sheriff that we wanted to have him take
right.
the quiz, when he ran into...
Well, look, have this person get in touch directly to me and tell him, and give him my phone number, 845-233-6560. Everybody probably has that. But tell him if he needs to, he can try calling me. But send me the info on an email, no matter what. And as he goes through the course, if he has any other problems, do the same thing. If he's right on the course and he has the problem, as he's going forward, he should pick up the phone and try to get me at that point. And then if I'm available, I'll try to walk and fix the problem right there.
Very good. So as far as you know, it's all been gone through with a fine-tooth comb and it should all be good.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be taking this on directly if we still had a lot of problems because I don't have the time to do that. But if we have a couple of glitches that are still there, I'd like to get them fixed.
Okay, excellent. I appreciate that.
And don't let that hold them back from joining, because we want everybody to take the test, but it's not like there's a paying job there that we're requiring you to take the test before you get it or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to hold him back.
He's already through the test, so he's committed.
Yeah.
But it just brought up the point that if he's having trouble, who else may be having trouble, you know?
Right. Well, usually people are pretty vocal when they have trouble, but we'll see. I mean, maybe there's something there that was missed. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, I'll definitely have him get a hold of John. And,
thank you.
I just wanted to mention I'm doing the court watch kind of by myself. I just drop in, and the other day I spent an hour in our local traffic court here in Placerville, El Dorado County. Mm-hmm. And within that 1 hour, the judge took $3,500 from mostly young kids and people, old people, $3,500 in 1 hour.
Wow. Nice work if you can get it, right?
Yeah.
$3,500.
Yeah, if you can live with yourself, you know.
Yeah, and everybody's hurting today, too. I mean, you're taking money, you're taking food off of people's tables, what you're doing.
Well, we're gonna put an end to it.
We have to.
One other quick thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Okay. Sheriff Mack, what's the status with him?
We sent the letter out. I sent the letter out last week. He got ill, so we didn't send the letter. We held the letter back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I sent it out last week, so we're waiting for him to get back to us.
The
ball's in his court, and we'd like to talk with him, but it's up to him, and we're not going to chase anyone.
No.
But we certainly would like to work with him and anybody else that is really working to bring liberty back to our nation.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear. The ball's in his court. Very good. Thank you so much, you guys.
Good night.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night.
Thank you. 13, let's see, how much, what do we got? 10 or 13 minutes.
Okay. So, Donald.
Hey, fellas, it's a correction. It's a correction on the last information, that previous case before the last one. That was really something, boy. I tell you, these people have no consciousness what's going on. But this correction on the information I provided you about that electronic code is actually 15 zeros.
15 zeros, my goodness.
15 zeros.
Wow.
It'll be an incoming call. It will show the duration that they were in your device, but it won't identify what type of call it was other than an incoming call.
Right.
That's the electronic code, so I apologize for that.
Well, we appreciate the information, and I'm getting ready to go in mine and go through everything to see if I got any of those. I'm dying to see.
I'm pretty sure you do.
No, they can't see me. I'm invisible. Stop. Okay, thanks a
all
lot.
All right, gentlemen. Yeah. It's been a very, very nice, very nice, very informative, enlightening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Right. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay, we got Connecticut Ed.
Yeah, how you doing? I popped back on. I fill up some time here, possibly, because I never want to get in anybody's way. No, I appreciate, what you told me there with that. And about making some, to advise this gentleman to, scream bloody murder and make some noise. It'd just be great if you had like hundreds of people and even 1,000 people, because say, look, we don't want this to happen to Joe. You know what I mean? Just if the people would just stand behind each other, this would never even be happening.
Well, listen, if you can get 20 people, they start losing it. Because, see, they realize that if 20 people show up to court, especially with cameras and notepads, legal pads and pencils, that's enough to unnerve any judge today. They're just not used to it, and it does help. I mean, my goodness, if you could get 100 people, forget about it. We had a case, I forget what when we were fighting with the Board of Education that time, we had maybe Board of Election, excuse me. And we had maybe 50 people show up. Well, they were running around in a tizzy. They didn't know what to do. First of all, he wanted to take us back in the chambers, but there was 50 people, and he didn't dare send us back there, you know what I mean? and he was just beside himself. You know, he reminded me of a housewife that got unexpected company.
They had to move us into a bigger room too.
They had to move us to a bigger room, and it really put him off his game, you know. And I mean, God forbid, if we knew what we know now, we could have really.
He gave us everything in that court. He gave us everything, but of course, we didn't win. He threw everything out anyway. But in the courtroom, he gave us everything.
He had the lady from the other side screaming hysterical. I don't understand. It's like we figured we won, slam dunk. Then he went and he wrote the paper when we were gone. He gave the judgment to the other side, but he put a show on. Let me tell you what. You know what, John? We should give him an honorable mention or something for the freaking show he gave us. You know, we should give him a prize for the show that he did. But you know, look, we were still somewhat green at that point, you know. But and we did pretty good for being, you know, amateur, so to speak. But like I said, there is a lot of power in numbers, believe me. And so whatever you can do to get it, and you don't need tons of numbers either. You know, I mean, the more the better. But you know. That's the best advice I can give you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that does really show it right there. I mean, imagine you had those people there, and then that just changed everything around. So basically, in a family court, it's funny, there's almost like family night, because I know some other callers were talking about family court. So you'd recommend the same kind of thing. If someone is, for the first time, say, pulled into family court, should they pretty much say that, you know, this isn't the right court, you don't have jurisdiction?
I wouldn't walk into that court. I'd only walk into that court to notify the court and serve the judge and everyone in it. I would never go into a family court to have them hear anything. I'd be walking in with papers, filing papers. We're now in a federal court up the road now, so this case is done. That's
right.
I would not permit them to come in and mess with my family. I wouldn't give them the time of day.
Right. No, that's good advice. So basically, right, you would never you would file papers prior to the court date. Then.
I would go to that court with papers. I'd go to that court with papers the day of the court, and just to serve everybody there. And I'd have some John Doe and Jane Doe papers with me.
Yeah. Actually, that's the way. Now, if someone did start already, say like this fellow I was mentioning about. And there was just one temporary order, but then they're going to go back and they might do another temporary order. So at that point, he could just say, you know, like you say, like an epiphany, and that he's in the wrong court and stuff, possibly something like that.
You can always challenge jurisdiction. It doesn't matter. Most of what they do is fraud. You know what I mean? So
Wilkins,
you always
object to everything.
Right. Right.
Right,
and
right.
I wouldn't
even ask him if he's got jurisdiction. I'd tell him he doesn't have jurisdiction. I
object
to this whole process. When you walk, if he makes any decisions, when you walk out of there and you leave that court, you file a paper called a writ of error, and you overturn his decision. You set the court straight, and meanwhile, you're suing him with other papers. That court can't continue no more. But once you file those papers, you walk in that court and file the papers, you just shut him down. He can't make a decision. And that writ of error would be to tell him that he didn't have the authority or the power because he's being sued. It's now a conflict of interest, and he can't make no decisions.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So you do the writ of error and overturn his ruling.
Yeah, and those are important papers. If you don't do that, then they know that they realize you don't know what you're doing. And we've even made the same mistake by dragging our feet on that stuff. But look, I want to get on. We got two more people.
Go right ahead, Gerard. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
It's been good.
Okay,
yeah.
See you later, Ed. 7 minutes.
Okay, Curtis.
Now ask your question.
What was that?
Hello, Curtis here.
Yeah.
Yes, Curtis, Virginia.
Yeah.
I had, there was several things here. One of the fellows that was asking about the Black's Law books, which ones were published. I have a 4th and a 9th edition, and I'm aware that the 10th edition Black's Law came out recently. On another issue, I sent all the Corantos out to the clerk, so the clerk, I got one back, but this particular clerk had actually filed it in his court. The test pages copied them and then gave me a recordation off stamp on it. Then he sends them back to me with this letter. And on the letter, this is what it says. Your documents are being returned to you for the following reason. After review of your documents, your intent cannot be determined, and no legal authority has been provided to support the filing. And that was dated 3-6-2015. I got this a couple of days ago.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Listen, what you want to do is this.
What you want to do is this.
I hear feedback on
you
this.
Wanna,
yeah,
on.
It's just...
Okay, I just muted him so I could talk because I can't listen to myself. Listen, what you got to do is this. You get all the papers together, run them through your printer, create a PDF, not a JPEG. For people who don't know how it works, when you push on your button on your printer, it gives you an option, JPEG or PDF or whatever. It may have it may just take it automatically as a JPEG, but you got to push that button, PDF. So you create a PDF into your computer, attach it to an email, send it to me, give me a little note on it, and then call me. Call me 845-233-6560. We need to deal with this paper. We also have a committee. Bob, are you here? We have a committee that's set up for dealing with this. You should contact them, too. Let me unmute him now because I had to mute him.
Yeah, I'm still...
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Your mic is a little bit over modulated.
You know what it is? You must have us on speaker.
Well, I do have you on my... I'm talking to you over my computer, not on my phone.
No, but if you got
And turn your speakers away.
Oh, okay. How's that?
Listen to your mic. We got 4 minutes left.
Okay, how's that?
Try it.
Okay. The phone number, you wanted me to contact you. I'm going to send this email where you want me to JPEG this and send it to you.
Not JPEG. PDF.
PDF.
Send it to John at National Liberty Alliance.
Okay, PDF. Okay, I got it. I'll do that.
Right, we'll
I'll do that tonight.
In the next few days, and give me a call, 845-233-6560.
560, okay.
Where are you at?
I'm in Virginia, yes.
Okay.
Tell them about this tip.
Let us move on because we got 3 more minutes.
No.
We'll talk on the phone. Call me.
Okay, we'll do. Thanks, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Last caller. Go ahead, Gerard. You got three.
Sheila,
minutes.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Sheila.
Good afternoon. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Well, I just want to reiterate on the million signatures. People, please go download the spreadsheet, the signature sheet. And keep the signatures coming in. Also, I want to, let everyone know regarding NLA Ready that we have storage food that lasts up to 25 years. And you can get them in various packages. And also, we have up on the site, we have a new forum, and it's regarding the MMS. And I placed some... videos up for people who are not too familiar with the miracle drug, and then you can pretty much educate yourself through a Mr. Humble, Jim Humble. I want to welcome Gina as the director of the CPS division. She needs help over there to get herself organized and so we're just asking for the members to support all of this. The media
Sheila should make a close connection and a relationship with Eric. Maybe she should be in the other group, but either way, make sure she connects with Eric. She should be working with Eric. Okay?
Okay. She's whoever I gave her the opportunity to work with whomever. It's going to be various people, though. I mean,
right.
That's going to
be... Yeah, but she's going to want people that's going to involve themselves and go to the courts and or to the hearings or whatever is going on if she's dealing with CPS.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. I just haven't... we just had the one meeting, and we really hadn't got a chance to speak to anyone else. This is the first time we're just coming up with it. It's been up on the board, but nobody really came and took the position. So,
all right, well,
yeah,
finish up because we're out of time right now. You got 30 seconds. Go right ahead. 30 seconds.
Well, just come to the media meetings if you can. It's on Thursday at 8 p.m., and the CPS meetings are Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's it. I yield. Thank
okay,
you, John.
And next week, if you want to make any announcements, try to get on, and we'll let you in.
I was late.
Okay. All right, well, that's
late.
Right.
I didn't get on too late.
We got
to
go.
I predict you're going to be inundated, believe me. That's a real ugly part of the court, and there's lots of people having trouble.
Right.
So hang on to your seat, believe me.
Okay, we're out of here now. Thank you
okay.
for coming. God bless
thank
everyone.
You, everybody.
We'll see you next Monday. Good night.
Good night.
The sound.